Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on the 5th of July, 2018. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Bruce. You better pep up, kid.
Yeah. Well, I actually
look like Ruth Bader Ginsburg right now. Pep right. up.
Every picture I see of her, she's slumped over a little bit.
No, that's yoga.
She's doing yoga,
haven't
right?
Haven't you listened? She's in great shape.
Is that Hatha yoga?
Yeah.
Do you like that I knew the term Hatha? You know how I knew that? It was an answer in a New York Times crossword puzzle the other day.
Look at you, huh? Retired, not much to do. Sure.
I'm in retirement denial. Okay. Everybody tells me my father was telling, you know, his friends and family that, you know, I was retired, and I said, you know, that's not true.
I was fired. Dad. I'm just unemployed.
Are you embarrassed for me? So
he sent you to law school. You became a new.
He did not send me to
You're
law
asking
school.
Now if
I
he's
sent myself to law school.
Here we go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
uphill each way, torn pants. Yeah, we all heard it.
So, how was your 4th of July?
I enjoyed it. It was great. I worked in the morning, opened the store, had a couple scoundrels come in.
Why would people come to a cigar store on the 4th of July? Yeah, why not?
Why wouldn't you?
Escape your family, go to the cigar store on the 4th of July.
You know, you like to lounge around and have your family pay homage to you. A lot of people like to get the hell out of the house. So you come to my store.
Do you have exploding cigars for the 4th of July?
No. Whee! I might just throw you out if you say something I don't like. It's possible.
And so then, you know, actually open, but you must close at some time and tell people to go home, be with your family, celebrate.
I only work till 2:30, and then I leave.
2:30 on the 4th of July?
You have to understand. I have a real estate business also. I work,
Wait, you
baby.
Weren't showing houses yesterday,
sure
were you?
Sure I was, absolutely. Just one.
Because somebody had the day off and they could see a house on the 4th of July.
I work all the time, man. What do you think? I got a municipal job? One of those fat pensions sitting around that you're going to pay for?
I mean, you
got to work.
That is going above and beyond the call of duty to show a house on the 4th of July.
Yeah, just one. Wasn't a big deal.
Okay. Well, I feel like such a lollygagger.
Because you haven't worked in a decade?
Well, I mean, I just...
About. Got the checks rolling in.
Are
you on Social Security?
I am not on Social Security yet.
No.
Yet.
When does that kick in?
Pretty soon. Yeah. Pretty soon.
Nice.
So just make me feel older. I just let the record show that I think you have more gray hair than I do.
Yeah, well, I'm under a lot of stress, baby. You hear I'm off of it.
Right, life is easy for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're wading into the show. I thought, you know, we're already a couple of minutes in and we haven't talked about Fabian socialism yet.
It's coming. Don't worry. We'll get to the Republicans in a minute.
Yeah. So, we could wait in a little bit. I didn't watch any TV yesterday.
First of all, I don't know what you're doing. You fight everybody to be in control. You're in the captain's stubing seat.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when I do this show with Proft, I get emails all night. I'm inundated with information. I come in, there's paper all over the place.
Yeah.
You've got your pretend briefcase that's nothing more than a lunchbox. You want to tell your kids you got a job.
I've got 64 Crayola crayons inside of that briefcase right
now. You're like falling down, guy. You just pretend you go to work.
I've got a protractor in there. I'm ready to start fifth grade today.
The Democrats are socialists. The Republicans are now the Democrats. We got a lot to talk about. It's Independence Day.
It's
a bunch of welfare patriots celebrating, ignoring the fact we have more in common with the king than we do the founders.
All right.
There's a lot going on, kid.
Well, you keep your filibuster going right here. I won't nuke you on it. And I'm going to find this DNC statement because this is very
We're
good.
Talk about the
Democratic National Committee had a statement on the 4th of July. All right. Do we have any patriotic music we can put in the background? Preferably from the TV show The Americans. Yeah. It's Russian patriotic music.
You're asking the same kid that told me the high was going to be 75 2 days ago?
What was it? I can't
remember.
It was
95 by the time I left the building.
This is DNC Chair Tom Perez released the following statement on Independence Day. And so it looks like the Declaration of Independence, but it doesn't have the S's are like F's. We hold these truths.
What's with the Bugs Bunny music?
Is that Sousa? Yes, give me a little Sousa. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July.
John Travolta was his houseboy. That's normal.
John Travolta was Jimmy Cagney's houseboy.
He was his Cato.
Wait a minute. Stop the music. Stop the music. What are you talking about?
I learn.
Jimmy Cagney
and John Travolta
knew John Travolta
in their robes together. Absolutely. What do you think? John Travolta just started out.
Well, wait a minute. We can't libel Jimmy Cagney because he's dead.
Why not?
But Travolta might have
come
a case.
On, Travolta, $3 bill.
No. You can't make stuff up.
Not making it up.
Somebody Google John Travolta,
Google it,
Jimmy Cagney
with the boy band
before
hair.
We start talking like this.
Google. All right.
Jimmy Cagney. The first words I taught to my oldest son,
it's a Yankee Doodle, all right,
who is now 40 years old, okay, the first words I taught to him were, top of the world, Ma.
Oh, I love it,
top
too.
Of the world.
Columbia film major.
My son was like a year and a half old, and he was singing top of the world.
How about the grapefruit in the girl's face? Remember that one?
Mae Clark, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
Oh, so you know all the Cagney movies.
Yeah, I was a film major. Yeah. I studied any of this stuff we talk about today.
I'm embarrassed because one of my sons was a film major. And he introduced me to Citizen Kane, which I didn't see until my dotage.
You know the story.
I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't
see it. Make me tell you what Rosebud was.
I know what Rosebud was.
And the story between him and the newspaper guy that Dan Proft emulates himself
Randolph
after.
Hurst.
Yeah.
because Dan's got, you mean the Prairie State Wire?
He's got 55 newspapers. I'm proud of him.
Dan has all these newspapers.
Aren't you proud of him?
I'm very proud of you.
He's a kid. He's
you
a punk
two are
kid.
My. You two are my favorite.
No, he's,
are my children. You're my sons.
Son of a gun. He's just wrong on a lot of issues.
Dan Proft?
Oh, sure.
The Prairie State Wire is my favorite newspaper.
It's the best.
Okay.
Well, listen,
what are some of his other?
Some people say they're going to make a difference, and some people do make a difference. Proft is a doer.
He always prints stuff about how high property taxes are,
how
much. You know, we're paying these municipal workers and pensions so that we can't afford to fix our sewers.
More of the phony baloney contracts that come back.
My favorite stories are like when he has the list, shows Chicago's TV sportscasters. I don't know how he gets this stuff. Well, I guess it's accessible. Their voting records. The voting records. Like Mark Giangreco has not voted in an election in the last four or five elections, even though he tweeted that people who voted for Trump are idiots.
Well, his brother's a lobbyist on the Take Democrat hat.
Oh, yeah, Pete Giangreco? Yeah, he's a troglodyte. Uh-huh. So anyway, so here's the Democratic National Committee statement on the 4th of July. You can cue the Yankee Doodle. A little sotto voce on that, okay.
Oh, look
I'm trying to speak your language.
Yeah, make
Melrose
your father
Parkian.
Feel like he got worth his money there. Go ahead. Look, Dad, I can speak in different languages. Law degree, not much. I did with it, but all right.
Yeah. Nearly 2.5 centuries ago, said the DNC, a band of patriots gathered in Philadelphia to declare that all men are created equal. So right now you know where it's going because it's all about equality. It's not about the pursuit of happiness and individuals doing things on their own. It's all about let's have the equal outcome. You can see they're telegraphing it to you right here.
Well,
I don't think you should have the Star Spangled Banner should never be background music. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, you're the guy.
Star Spangled Banner is up front and center. I mean, that's the equivalent of Sean and me taking a knee during the anthem. We're talking over the anthem. I mean, let's start the show over again.
But here's the thing.
Do you want me to continue with this statement?
No, I want you to point out the fact. That these are the most difficult kind of days for the Democrat Party, whose entire
first of all, let's call it the Democratic Party. That's what they call themselves. It's such
they're
a
not
slur.
Democratic. They're Democrats.
It's with a capital D. That's what they call themselves. It's juvenile to call them the Democrat Party. And I know everybody does it. All the conservatives do that, and it's ridiculous. It's called the Democratic Party. That's what they call themselves.
But they're not Democratic at all.
How many things
are we going to let them hide behind? The fact that they actually believe in America when their policies are exactly the opposite of America?
You're preaching to the choir right here.
They're going to be led by a majority vote when they dictate. They're a minority controlled mobocracy party? I mean, how many things are we going to let them pretend that they're actually part of America?
Can I cut to the chase on their statement? I'm going
to
not read the entire statement.
Thank God.
Because you know, we both have ADD, and even though the statement's only four paragraphs long.
From the National Socialist Party, give it to us.
But they say, everywhere we look, our most fundamental values are under attack. Thousands of children have been separated from their parents at our southern border. Yes, so? Okay. At our highest court, nobody's in favor of that. Trump remedied that problem. They're still complaining about it. He already remedied it. Second, at our highest court, workers' rights are being taken away. Yoo-hoo! That's the Janus case, right?
Yeah.
That's local. Our local guys did that. Oh, did I get in trouble with Dan for that? Because wow. I voted for Jeannie Ives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, kudos to Bruce Rauner for... spearheading the workers' rights claim.
Listen, Dan
tweets back, well, that's really not Rauner's thing. It's, you know.
Well, in 4 years.
It's one of Dan's shell groups that did it.
He did one
Illinois
thing.
Policy Institute.
I'm sure he was dragged to it. The thing about Bruce Rauner is
Rauner was in favor of this.
Maybe.
Look, the sine qua non for Rauner is, had he not signed HB 40, I guess, which is, you know, the abortion for recipients.
Where I have to pay to kill other kids. Yeah.
Had he not signed that, we'd be on board for Rauner right
poppycock.
Now, wouldn't we?
I never
poppycock, as I always say.
You going to interrupt me when I'm doing my filibuster?
Go right ahead.
I never was on board for Rauner. I spotted him for the saboteur he was when he was running. You can ignore only so much of someone's past before you realize they are a straw Trojan horse of which the Democrat policies...
The straw Trojan horses are the worst kinds of Trojan horses.
Listen, here's the thing. Yeah. You have to bail out this failure. So you can't...
Wait, what did you see? What was bad about Rauner before that? What, that they clouded his kid into paint and prep?
Who were his associates? How did he make his money?
He was in favor of school choice way back when. I mean, I'm not trying to justify Rauner. It's moot. He's done. He's yesterday's news.
We should be sending him boxes. The idea he's still going to run is a joke. Why waste everyone's time?
There was a rumor that he was going to withdraw like about a month ago.
He should.
But he didn't.
He's pathetic. Pathetic. Name the difference between Bruce Rauner and the guy with your hairdo who's sitting in prison right now, Blagojevich. What's the actual difference?
About 14 years?
That's it.
Yeah.
and Rauner's better at making money off of the corruption than being a part of the corruption.
Rod Blagojevich... My favorite moment with Rob Blagojevich, remember his farewell speech when he right before he was going to go to prison? And he had the press. That's my deal. As long as you give me credit for it. But he kept talking about how he had made pap smears available to the women of Illinois. And he kept circling back to it because he didn't want to leave and be hauled off to prison. So he had run out of all of his accomplishments, and he kept coming back to that he had provided pap smear. So we had the pap smear drinking game at our house while we were watching
it. Bruce Rauner took all the Obamacare money, bolstered that program, which is still in effect today, make sure all of that nonsense, that socialist nonsense, is financed, creates endless amounts of debt, does the exact same platform as Blagojevich. Where is the difference?
It's not the same platform. He wanted to cut taxes.
Janus case,
he wanted. And that's a big deal, the Janus case.
Of course,
case.
It's huge.
It could.
Although, taxes.
You know, there's plenty of states. What are there, about 28 states that already had what, you know, Janus had? I mean, they didn't have to pay to the unions. It's not like the craziest thing in the world that the unions are trying to portray it as.
We are the prime example of the Democrat platform.
All right, we will get through the DNC statement. We still got to talk about how many hot dogs Joey Chestnut had. We're going to take your calls because guess what? I don't think we have any guests on the show. It's like my dinner with Andre, and you today. Like, we need a guest.
See, I come to the second microphone, and I'm not supposed to do everything you are. You did nothing.
What's the telephone number here? I can't.
312-642-5600. Give us a call.
And Sean and I will be back on AM 560, The Answer.
I've got this thing, and it's golden.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on a Thursday, July 5th, 2018. So did you know, Sean that on this day in 1937, Hormel Foods introduced
the hot dog.
The mix of pork shoulder and ham, whose name is derived from spiced ham. Yes, we're talking about spam.
Spam. Now, do they have?
And that's what we know.
Is that kosher?
No, it's not. And in the broadcasting trade, that's what we just do a story in order to play the soundbite. That's the whole reason. Now, if we can also.
Oh, now you're going to pay attention to how you're supposed to run a show?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
So our telephone number is 312-642-5600, and we need people to call in this morning. Not that you can't filibuster Ted Cruz for the next 4 hours, but the we have no guests scheduled for today.
I mean, you're terrible at this.
Dave, I didn't do any. I did because I'm constantly doing show
prep. I was
prep,
so excited. But, we were supposed to possibly interview Alan Dershowitz. And he,
what happened?
There was a train mix-up, because go figure, that's the only thing the socialists get right.
Okay.
There was a train mix-up, and he couldn't take the call. And I wanted to do the, what was it like to be married to Mia Farrow joke? You know.
Well, why don't you do it with me, and I'll be Alan Dershowitz, who sounds a little bit like Woody Allen. I'm Alan Dershowitz. I'm a Harvard law professor. Nobody invites me to their parties anymore in the Hamptons. I'm very upset about it, and then people said that I'm whining about it. I don't care that they don't invite me to their parties in the Hamptons anymore, because I enjoy the fact that I stand for certain principles, and I don't really care whether they invite me. But when they block me on Twitter, like they blocked Roger Pielke, the climate scientists, they blocked him. They don't
Nanny
want
Hall.
People to.
You were great, Nanny Hall. I had a couple different ways to go with Dershowitz. I was so excited.
What would you have asked Alan Dershowitz?
First of all,
here's what I think we should do. Remember last time we did the show, I had you call in?
No. It was my idea.
Let's rewind the tape on that. I think it was my idea. But we could call in as guests.
Really?
You could, if you. Look, both of us have now, at this point, interviewed Stephen Moore so many times.
I had a great time the other day. Did you listen to my interview?
No.
Oh, but, petard.
We could both interview Stephen Moore. We could both call up as Stephen Moore. But you know, when he laughs like 20 seconds in, how did you hoist Stephen Moore by his own petard?
All,
I'd like to hear a Sean Thompson war story.
Nobody does it.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
If you're talking about it, I'll be talking about it. Dennis Prager here. Join me this morning at 11, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
I still have about 47 more credits before I graduate from Prager University.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a thing called Prager.
You do better with that degree than your other one.
there's a thing called Prager University.
Yeah.
Online.
I like Dennis Prager.
A lot
much.
Of videos. They're
I really
good.
Do.
They're good. But then Facebook, I think it's Facebook has like censored some of them, haven't they?
Yeah.
YouTube has. Excuse me. Thanks so much. Yeah, Mr. Snerdly, you know that our producer. Mm-hmm. We share because there's been a lot of cost cutting across the industry, so we share the same producer as Rush Limbaugh, Mr. Snerdly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He produces all... when you were at WLS. It isn't going to work here.
I thought I'd try it.
By the way, what's with the jacket?
The jacket says, let the record show, it has a peacock on it.
Yeah.
The NBC peacock, and it says NBC 5 Chicago.
How long you been gone there?
Let's see. I worked there in the 60s with Floyd Kalber. Then I came back.
Well, I know it's a while because they changed their logo.
Oh, it's not a peacock anymore?
It's not that one.
It's a peafowl because they've
need
been
a couple bucks?
They've been defenestrated. They've been defenestrated. They're, you know.
Stop living
even,
in the past.
Even the men are women at Channel 5. I mean, that's the whole point. It's the feminized newscast. So, just to stay in the spirit here.
We have one?
Oh, wait, I just tried to turn on a soundbite, and it didn't, nothing happened.
Oh, my word. It's a good thing you fought for the captain's
seat here. It was a fireworks soundbite, and it fizzled. It was a dud.
All right, now can I talk about
I
something?
Don't know what happened. Yes, okay. Oh, there we go.
So I get to the studio.
Happy 4th, everybody.
So I get to the studio, and I'm on Amy Jacobson's terminal here. And of course, I knew it was that because the screen was frozen to cast.
That's a euphemism.
Little
to say
Puerto
that you're
Rican
on,
flags tied to her head.
That you're on Amy Jacobson's
so
terminal.
So I finally got on this, and I open up, and I have been saying to you that the ramifications of bad policies have consequences we're unaware of at the time. Right? Uh-huh. Didn't I say, you know, in our private conversations,
sure.
when I constantly berate bad policies?
Yes.
Not just because I want to fight against this small central hub running the economy, but the first.
You're listening to the Liberty Hour
the
with
first,
Sean Thompson. It's Sunday
article,
night here on WIND.
Sunday 8
Go
nine.
Again.
This is important, though, all right? There's a new oil cartel that's threatening OPEC. Now, I'm anti-OPEC anyway, right?
Okay.
I think that countries like ours, who are sitting on oceans of oil, should be able to do whatever we want with it, which would be the best.
We're the biggest oil producer in the world.
Doesn't
right
matter.
Now,
we're still becoming. Bound by regulations that prevent it from getting to us, the consumer. So as much as we pretend that we have all, which, by the way, we do, oceans and oceans of oil, we never have to import another thing. In fact, we could export.
I don't like, just from public relations standpoint, I don't like you saying oceans of oil because it conjures up image of oil slicks.
Well, we're in an advertising market.
And
let me
straws,
just
and plastic straws in the ocean and hurting all the animals.
So now in this ridiculous, manipulated time we live in, when people demonize freedom and, you know, and celebrate Independence Day, when they demonize the idea of property rights of individual businesses versus state-owned corporations,
right.
there is now, because of this trade war that we've entered into,
right?
And we have, not only do we enter into it because there were tariffs on us, although that's not our problem, right? Those are countries abusing their citizens.
Sure.
We decided, let's take it up a notch.
Unilateral free trade is what we believed in until you and I interviewed Stephen Moore a couple of months ago, and I said, let's be in favor of unilateral free trade. He said, well, yeah, that's good. And then he just tabled that and said, but what Trump's doing is fine, which Stephen Moore speaks with forked tongue.
That was also the ideology of the founding fathers, one of their 28 indictments against the king was that he entered into trade wars and prevented trade. But we'll just pretend that they were wrong and Trump is right. Anyway, the ramifications of a trade war is, since the Bretton Woods Agreement, we, the American people, have the world using our dollar, right? So
right.
when you start this escalate, because we don't want to have start, escalated a stupid trade policy, you give these countries the out to stop cooperating. So right now,
if I may interject just for a second here, and that's the great thing, they use our dollar. So even when there's a trade deficit, as you well know, and there's nothing wrong with a trade deficit, but even if you wanted to find something wrong with it, they're always going to buy. The dollars come back to us.
Unless they stop participating.
Well, if there's a trade war.
So there's a couple of things moving around here.
Yeah.
Right? Number one, that's important that our dollar is the world currency.
Yes.
Because it doesn't have to be. And if it doesn't, that means we can't endlessly print it and pretend we're not, like now.
Right.
Okay?
Agreed.
That means there's huge inflation, and we turn into Venezuela overnight.
Let me ask you a question here.
Not going to let me get to the point. All right,
oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Right now, today,
okay.
the biggest thing happening today is that India and China are talking about forming an oil buyers club.
Okay.
Which means.
Is that anything like
it's
a Dallas
not going to be
buyers
in the dollar.
Club? Yeah.
Number one, it's not going to be in the dollar. Number two, it means they can go directly to Russia. So all the enemies of us now form a group together.
We want to make India an enemy of ours?
We already did with
colony.
The steel tariff.
I thought they were a colony of ours.
With all these tariffs, you've already made India an enemy.
Okay.
Because you don't have an example of freedom and capitalism by practicing the opposite. So the ideology of unilateral free trade is the ideology of property rights. And you know why, Bruce? Because there is no we. When you hear we have a deficit, a trade, there is no we. Those are individual industries and individual companies within those industries.
Right.
Forget about trying to educate the people to show that deficit is value. I give you dirty paper, you do what I want you to do. It doesn't just work in politics. That's how real life works.
I'm just worried about turning India into an enemy, which means if you call up customer service, the guy on the other end no longer is going to be saying, hello, my name is Scott. He'll say, my name is Raji, and I may answer you, and I may speak in Punjabi.
You know what it is? Yeah. We're so spoiled the way we've been raised. We're so ignorant to to how things actually work, because we've been
yes.
just frauded and walk around with arrogance and no concept of how we got here.
Sure.
That it's going to come to a crashing. We're going to hit the rocks.
Let me ask you this. I'm against trade deficits. I'm against the idea that trade deficits matter. I believe in Ricardo's theory of comparative advantage and, you know, all that jazz. But the one thing that does concern me, and it gets a little murky, is, and maybe you could explain this to me, is that, for example, a guy like Rehan Salam, who's the executive editor of National Review, and National Review's traditional conservative,
no,
free
not.
Market, certainly it is. He says that we should never have given China most favored nation status. Now, I know they have a new term for it, but, you know, the idea is, if we give them this kind of status, they become, you know, part of the international community. They're going to liberate their citizens, but this isn't really what's happened. So that's one of the arguments against having given it to them. And it just in a strictly economic sense, of course you want free trade. But aren't there geopolitical concerns from time to time which warrant us not engaging in free trade with other countries? I'm hard-pressed to determine exactly when we're supposed to do that. And, I mean, just to put a twist on Lenin, we don't want to buy the rope from the communists. We don't want to buy the rope from the communists with which to hang ourselves. That's my little twist on it. So are there time from time to time geopolitical concerns which would negate, you know, the idea of free trade? I mean, we have sanctions on countries like North Korea, and Iran. So tell me, are there times when we don't want free trade?
The answer is communist countries that you're afraid of have no real currency. So that takes care of itself, because they have put themselves in a corner where they have no actual recognizable currency. The problem comes in when we, through our idiotic foreign policy, finance the communist countries. Do you remember when Obama, I have firsthand experience because of the cigar business, but do you remember when Obama unilaterally, fiat, through dictate, said, we're good with Cuba now?
Right.
Tried to circumvent the embargo, and people said, isn't this going to be great? You could always tell how smart somebody is when they go, now the Cubans can buy our stuff.
Right.
They have no money. They have no currency. Bad fiscal policies destroy totalitarian governments.
But can they?
Hold on a minute. I let you ask.
All right,
the problem with America is we finance communist countries. So the answer to how do you destroy the Shaikans, the Chinese communists, mm-hmm. is by unilateral free trade, and you let their people overthrow their totalitarian government.
I'm not
but
sure
we
I
have
understand
been
that.
Financing China along with Europe, pretending that they're legitimate. You let fight for freedom.
Isn't unilateral free trade, though, financing the Shaikans?
It's the people fighting for their own freedom.
Yeah, but, you know, the government controls all that. It's just
murky
to me.
You're financing tyrants.
And by the way,
the problem with China is that the Clintons sold our weapon technology, and we pretend
right.
they stole it.
Well, that's a problem,
too. They didn't steal it. They bought it from corrupt
government. And just one final point before we go to the break here. Yes, the Cubans don't have any money, but couldn't they just give us in trade like a 1959 Studebaker?
You make them bend because you cut them out through their totalitarian policies themselves. You don't give them money to pretend they're our friends and let them buy it back or borrow more. You let their people take over their freedom. That's what we are.
All right, we'll have more. We'll get to Econ 201 after the break here. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson here on AM 560. The Answer, in for Dan and Amy.
You've made the switch, and it feels so good. You switched to Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Happy July 5th. And
we're going to talk about anything.
That sounds like I can name that fireworks. I'm saying that's Grant Park last night. Am I right about that? Justin?
You're wrong.
Also, give us a call at 312. 642-5600, 312-642-5600. Which is the higher number, the number of hot dogs that Joey Chestnut devoured in the annual hot dog eating contest, or the number of people shot in Chicago since the beginning of the year? Which is the higher number?
It's not even close.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Now, I do want you to tell us, so we get it over already, how did you undress Stephen Moore the other day on this show?
I didn't,
okay, because I wasn't, I don't know what else
no
I had to
know
do.
What because we're talking about. But yeah,
Stephen Moore, the great economist, the advisor to the administration, friend of the show. He's a great guy, very intelligent guy. But you undressed him. Go ahead.
First of all, he's an Austrian economic. He was an Austrian economic specialist and a capitalist.
Really?
And a capitalist.
A Hayekian.
So all you have to do, you know, it's not hard. You just use their own past books
sure,
of freedom
to impeach
and capitalism
them.
And property. Right?
Absolutely. That's how you do it on the witness stand. That's how you cross-examine. You show them giving prior inconsistent statements. Go right ahead, counselor. Tell us.
Even your dad knows I'd be a better lawyer than you. And he paid for
I would
school.
Agree. Now, he did not pay for
Here
schooling.
We go. You worked as a busboy. We know. So it's really quite simple. My biggest argument with the Trumponomics
right.
is that it is a soiree of subsidized protectionism.
Sure.
That is sold to us by politicians who are the equivalent of madmen in the television show. All they are now is advertisers. And all we have today are talking point bumper stickers. We have no dimensional thought process. We have no policies that are really new. They're just more of a bureaucracy than the policies of old.
I'm trying to picture in my head right now Donald Trump as John, played by John Hamm.
Oh, we'd all be better off.
Okay.
Including Melania.
But tell me, I get it. There's a salesman pitch.
Everything
and,
is a
and the inconsistency is, of course, that Stephen Moore used to stand for free trade, and now all of a sudden he's providing cover for protectionism by Trump.
Which protectionism?
And what was Stephen Moore's rejoinder to your contention?
He hates to be argued with his own words.
Well,
so it was great. I had a great time doing it. It was wonderful. And you know, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for him on one level because he's put in a precarious position of defending the indefensible. So what do you have is you have different sale pitches. And then you have diversions, right? So divert the people when they're on to the scheme. It's really become a soap opera today, is what I think politics is, the news in general. I believe it's become a sales pitch where we're to be pitted against each other rather than focusing on the issues. My favorite one to talk about is the hot topic when I filled in with Dan was also immigration. It is a tremendous hot topic, and it gets people all aggravated, right?
Maybe it'll generate some phone calls
for
here.
Or hours after.
A hot topic. 312-642-5600. So let's before we go to immigration, we do want to listen to our caller, Derek from Stevens Point. Good morning, Derek.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Very good.
Good. There's a few things, and it's a really baffling paradigm that's going on. You know, I have a ton of Trump supporter friends who I would actually view as conservative, and the second we get into talking about tariffs, their eyes roll back in their head and they just like they turn blue. They have no clue what's going on. You know, and I being in the trucking industry, we race stock cars on the weekend. All of my friends, you know, myself included, obviously, we buy raw material. We buy steel. We buy brake clean. We buy, you know, just car and truck parts on the whole. And I've had three friends come up to me now in the past few weeks, now that summer's gotten going and things are in swing, you know, with our industry and our hobby. And they didn't understand this stuff before, but then all of a sudden when they went to buy steel or parts, boy, why'd they go up? Why is the price higher? Well, then you explain it to them. It's like, well, then they walk away scratching their head like, I didn't think Trump would do this to us, you know? And the other part that comes into it is it's hard not to defend Trump's willingness to stand up for the American idea. But the problem that I have is, and I assume that you and Sean also would have, is he's not doing it the right way. There's nobody on our side of the fence that would have any issue with Trump getting tough on the intellectual property theft or the
sure.
the BS duties that we have to pay when, like, I have a friend in the robotics industry. They build a robot for industry production or manufacturing production, and they ship it to Mexico. They have to pay a duty just across the border, not anything else, not anything to do with NAFTA or anything else. It's another duty. And I don't, if Trump spent some time, because he has a voice like no other president in the past on Twitter, if he would spend time getting that out to the people instead of this non-start of a socialist trade agenda, I don't know how he would lose the midterms.
Yeah.
But
he
as
can't.
It goes...
He can't.
Well, actually, Derek, from
I
a political,
I
agreed with everything that you said up to this point, from Stephen's point, because I believe it is a political winner. Even the Democrats are running on this tariff thing because it's an old Democratic proposition.
Well, because it allows
that's what it works.
It allows the willfully ignorant to stay ignorant.
Well,
you have this fake trade war, and you're not addressing why there is a trade problem, and that is the American government's policy of controlling freedom. Of being bastardized, of having corporatism pretend to be capitalism, of having lobbyists pay to play. It allows all of that to be hidden in the so-called trade war, and you get everybody positioned.
But I'd like to say one more thing here, and it's very important. In our Twitter wars and our Facebook wars, or in our conversations with family, friends, you know, it's that time of year where we spend a lot of time with each other. There's you get into this discussion and it kind of floats around and never ends. There's one way to end it. And there's one way to get people thinking is when quote unquote, Trump puts a tariff on something, who pays that higher price? When they answer, we do. That's it. It's the end of the story. So
Derek, thank you so much for your call. I mean, the only problem is that it works. I mean, because
poppycock. If it worked, then Venezuela would be a bastion of capitalism or the Soviet Union.
It works politically, I would say.
Yeah, because you get a bump.
Let's go to Dan from Libertyville. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've got to tell you guys, listen to these people calling in and stuff. I am so irritated with the typical Illinois whining and complaining. It makes me ill and annoys me. That's
sure,
Illinois.
There you
That's
go.
The
Pun intended. Yes.
Now, with what's going on with these tariffs, let's really look at the heart of the matter. Well, everybody will say, oh, my God, you know, I got to pay more for some steel tubing. Well, how are you going to motivate someone like Canada, someone like Germany, or other places, China, to change the way they're doing if you don't hit them first? It's a negotiation.
You didn't hit them first. Number one, you're not.
Sean, will you tag me in this tag team thing? Can I go after Dan now? Then I'll tag you. It'll be like Dick the Bruiser and Crusher. Dan, I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Who cares? When you buy things from Target or Walmart or Whole Foods or whatever.
I don't buy stuff from Target or Walmart.
Oh, how about Whole Foods? How about Whole Foods?
Good for you. You get to choose.
Where do you shop, Dan? Dan, where do you shop?
Stores that everybody wants to go to in Illinois.
Dan, where do you shop?
Cheapy.
Where do you shop, Dan? Where do you shop?
What kind of car do you drive?
All right, Home Depot.
I go to Home Depot. I drive a Ford truck.
Okay, so Dan, you shop at Home Depot.
Made in America.
You go to Home Depot. Home Depot doesn't shop at your place. They don't. You give them.
He's the perfect Trump supporter. He hates choice.
All right, look for the union label. Dan, vote Democratic. Goodbye. All right, thanks, Dan.
He's the perfect Trump guy.
Appreciate it.
He doesn't want choice.
Let's go to Peggy.
Let's protect people from low prices.
From Chicago.
Because Dan and Donald say so.
Good morning, Peggy.
Hi. I just wanted to make a few salient points here. One, the federal government is now taxing hospitals and they're taxing churches and not-for-profits. What they've done is they're taxing the fringe benefits at the same rate that they're taxing private corporations. So it means, you know, things like your parking space, that's now taxed at a rate of 21%.
Okay.
So it's like what will happen is that it'll kill the church. I mean, it won't kill the church. It'll just kill the building.
Well, let's make sure, Peggy, Amy Coney Barrett with her seven children on the Supreme Court so that we don't get a Merrick Garland type eventually who would wind up making sure that churches and all religious institutions wound up losing their tax-exempt status. It would make it even worse than it has become, according to you. Now, well, give us another Peggyism.
Churches have never been taxed in the history of the country.
Neither has Jesse Jackson.
They would be if they didn't allow gay marriage.
Well,
under a Democratic administration,
they've already done this. When they put the when they had the tax reform bill, mm-hmm. that's when they snuck all this stuff in.
I see.
Nobody knew.
All right, give us
but
one more salient
thing
point.
They've already done in Illinois. No, it's all over the country now.
Okay.
The federal government has done is to tax hospitals.
Right.
So what?
So your medical care is going to, the quality of your care is going to be going down if you have a hospital, because they're going to tax all the hospitals, and then they're going to take that money. The federal government's going to match it.
Right.
And give it back to the
Come
state.
On. It's
well,
all a
Illinois,
Ponzi scheme.
Right. I mean,
I love hidden taxes.
It's 2 years behind in paying. They say they pay 20%. They pay 5%.
Hidden taxes
and
are the best taxes.
When they get a hold of that money, they can then give it to the, quote, poor hospitals.
Exactly.
The quality of your care in all these nice hospitals and everything
will
go
down.
You're not going to have the cure.
The best thing, though, is equal health care for all and make it all bad. Peggy, do you have another salient point, or are you done?
I think I have enough to chew on.
Okay, thank you for giving us those morsels. We appreciate it, Peggy.
Are we going to address any of these points, or are you just going to go next, next, next?
You have already...
What the hell are you doing in the captain's seat? You don't know what you're doing!
You've already...
I want to destroy every point there.
Cruise director Julie...
Why is the church always broke? Why are you broke? God always needs more money.
Right.
Come on, that's another scam. You should pay taxes.
You're anti-church?
I'm anti-all nonsense. Let's start there. Please, always broke.
All right.
God loves me. I got to watch what I do, and he's always broke.
Did you get
it? He's so good. Why is he bad with money?
Did you get a chance to address all the points now? I don't want you to feel like you've been stifled.
No, health care.
Okay.
Here's a system that feeds on its own corruption, its own nonsense. Blue Cross Blue Shield never made more money. All these pretend insurance brokers fighting for the man. You love the mandate, though, right? Where's all the Republicans against Obamacare, which has never been more financed or stronger under the great Donald? It's all nonsense.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel cowed us. Kimmel's the de facto... President of the United
One
States.
One big magic trick with a hot All musician's
right.
assistant.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Little Philadelphia freedom here on a day after July 4th. Nobody has guessed. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Which is the higher number? The number of hot dogs that Joey Chestnut digested yesterday in the annual hot dog eating contest, or the number of people shot in Chicago since the beginning of
the
month?
We got a caller on the line. Yeah. Let's see if he knows it.
Well, he wants to talk about immigration, I believe, and I know you did too, so I thought this would be a nice segue to that topic.
Look at you, there radio we go. Pro. It's amazing.
Lewis from Dayton, Texas. Lewis?
Yes. Yes, sir. Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Very good.
Good morning,
yourself.
Lewis.
Actually, I'm originally from Chicago,
sure.
So I do know about all the violence in Chicago.
Sure. Would you like to guess which is the higher number? The
take
number,
a shot for a free Joe Walsh
take
T-shirt.
Take a shot. No pun intended. No, don't give away T-shirts that you don't have. Do you
I got
have
one.
It?
He signed one for me.
I'll okay,
give him mine.
You'll give him his. Okay. All right. Yes, Lewis.
I'll take death in Chicago.
All right. There were Joey Chestnut ingested 74 hot dogs yesterday. How many people have been shot in Chicago since
1,441.
No, since the beginning of the month.
Oh, the beginning of the month.
Yeah, about in the 20s, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Not bad.
Yeah,
28,
no.
29.
A woman was struck by lightning on Monroe yesterday after the celebration, and that made a
you know what I want,
live shot report.
I want to know how much money the public had to pay in hospital fees. Let's stop giving numbers, and let's give dollar amounts. So
right.
far, I think we're down, what, $40 million this month? All right, let Lewis go.
Yes, Lewis, you wanted to talk. You being in Texas, are you near the border, Lewis, in Texas?
No, I'm actually 30 minutes east of Houston.
Okay.
But actually, that was kind of a segue into what I wanted to talk about as you talk about price. The other day, my family accused me of being racist because I support a lot of Trump's immigration laws. I'm of Puerto Rican descent, but I do have family members that are of Mexican descent as well. And they accuse me of being wanting to be white and a racist is because I agree with his issues, because I tried to point out some of the facts. One of them being obviously border security. You know, I mean, you know, we have people from other countries. A lot of my family members, I had to correct them because a lot of people flooding into the border through Mexico aren't only Mexicans. I worked in the military for 10 years with the United States Marine Corps, and we did cross-training with Border Patrol. And there are people of different groups of nationalities, from Arabic to white Europeans, as well as many South Americans that are flooding through the border. And a lot of these members are either drug cartel members or gang members, especially we all know MS-13.
Sure.
And I try to point that fact out to them. The other one was, like I said, border security, obviously. Financially, though, like I try to tell them, when these people come into this country, who pays for it? We do. When we do the checks for them, we make sure they go to the hospitals because, you know, these Border Patrol agents, they got to get them physically checked out. Even their kids, we put them in their kids, we watch their kids, we feed them, we do all these things. And when they allow these people to come in,
Lewis, a woman tried to scale the Statue of Liberty yesterday to protest the fact that that immigrants are being separated. Children are being separated from their parents, even though Trump already remedied that. Somebody should tell this woman climbing the Statue of Liberty is like one of those Japanese World War II soldiers who was in the Philippines and still thought the war was going
How
on.
How high did she get? Like a Teamster? Did she get up to the shin? Or how did she get to the elbow?
You know that they closed the torch years ago? There was a protest years ago, and they've closed the torch since then.
Here's the problem
I have. But, Lewis, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Thank you for calling in from Texas.
Yeah. These are mutually exclusive issues.
And now cause a controversy.
These are mutually exclusive issues. Number one, border security that everyone likes to talk about, the wall. And yada.
Right.
Simpson and Mazzoli, 1986, 32 years ago, using the old math, solved it. They just refused to fund it, right? Congressmen that are going to run as conservatives this year, they refused to fund the agreed-upon fence. Now, they funded a portion of it, the portion that everyone sees. But all you need do, all these fraud politicians that are creating new bills, read Simpson and Mazzoli. Is there one person that read it? Because if you did, you'd realize it's solved. Just have to follow the freaking bill.
I thought it was a margarine you were talking about. What you really need, I don't know how much of a wall you need. It's more symbolic than anything else. But what we really need is E-Verify.
Bingo.
That's what you need, is E-Verify.
So these are two,
and you never hear it coming up.
Now,
nobody's going to have that.
Now, let's talk philosophically about immigration.
All right.
So you have the principles of border security, of which every sovereign nation gets to secure its borders.
Sure. What's controversial about that? What generated phone calls the other day about that?
It's the sales pitch. When I said that we have an immigration policy based in people seeking liberty, everyone, MS-13. Now, MS-13 is an issue, but it's also an issue of people already here.
There's not that
gangs,
many people
wait a
in MS-13.
What about the gangster disciples? What about the Bloods and the Crips? They're all a problem.
And they're not in my neighborhood, so
do
I don't care. So
your
go ahead.
Job of law enforcement. These are separate issues.
Right.
And what about the guy who's being intimidated and murdered in Venezuela because he's seeking liberty and freedom? Are we okay to let him in or no? No, we can't let him in either. So you either have an ideology.
Well, how about 500,000 Syrians who died?
Are they running from oppression and tyranny? Do they seek freedom? See, some of the most patriotic Americans
That's
are the
not
newest.
Enough.
Some are the newest.
Right.
Some that actually believe what the founding fathers said about property rights, liberty, sovereignty of the individual, and freedom. They're not the people preaching protectionism, which is the opposite
of
what the founders
wanted. You know who
wanted.
Hates illegal immigrants the most? Legal immigrants. They compete for jobs with them because the legal immigrants don't speak the language either, so they're competing with the illegal immigrants.
How about the scam, Bruce? And you know this is a scam, of the student visas. It's a scam. You've got people who are college graduates in Europe, people who want to come here. They come here as already professional people, and they're forced to take out student loans, enroll in college. Or how about my favorite of all the scams, the one that the most connected political scumbags are in charge of, HB1 visas. Oh, you got $500,000? Sure, pony it up. You're in, baby. We used to call that bribes where I come from. But today, they're HB1 visas. And why don't we take the money from the HB1 visas and use that money to offset the cost of all the other stuff? Can you imagine? And as long as we're talking about taxes, why aren't campaign contributions taxed? Why? Why do you have them hide under donations instead of what they are, which is bribery by guys in suits? Sickening.
A donation should be taxed.
Tax it. You want to see donations
plummet?
Oh, it's not?
it's not income to the, to the donor.
And his
I mean, it should be taxed to the campaign.
Tax it. You want to be a politician, an American? Would you get a half million? Give the taxes on it. Now, why not?
Then, because then Jesse Jackson Jr. can't spend it on an elk
Church
head.
Of perpetual tax evasion. Just another religious guy.
All right, we've covered the economy. We've covered immigration. We're going to have to talk about Elon Musk is offered to help the Thai soccer team.
Yeah, poor subsidizing the rich.
First, I'd like to see him test out, build an underground transit from downtown to O'Hare. We'll see if that works. Then we'll let him save the Thai soccer team.
How about we stop paying for the free electric in these public parking spaces where these rich guys drive their Teslas to get free juice?
That's more important than the Thai soccer team. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Get your free tickets to meet Sean Spicer in Chicago on August 8th. Go to 560theanswer.com/briefing.
Chris Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer. It's open mic Thursday is today, right?
So yeah.
Give us a call at 312-642-5600. 312-642-5600. We're getting some texts here, Sean, about your anti-religious stance.
Yeah, we got a lot.
And this is Catholic radio, isn't it?
I'm not anti-religious. I'm anti-scam.
And you are a Catholic, aren't you? But
that's
you
what
want
they say.
You want what do you want the churches to be taxed just like everybody else?
Is Let's put everybody in the same boat. Only then can we really get some real reform and real fix and real stop the. Nazis.
So the whole conservative position, the reason that we most conservatives voted for Donald Trump was to get a Supreme Court pick.
That's not true.
That would ensure that the churches wouldn't be taxed to hold the line, because we feared that after Obergefell, however you pronounce it, the decision making gay marriage constitutional, that eventually the slippery slope was going to lead to the churches and synagogues being taxed if they did not perform gay marriages. But you seem to have no problem with the churches being taxed.
Either we're all taxed or none of us are, right? My problem is
why can't we carve out exemptions
My problem is that the tax system is a manipulated whip and spear. I want a flat tax for all. That's what I want. I don't like the idea that we have what I believe to be the most unconstitutional taxing policy in the history, which is a progressive tax, which is why it's the number two plank of the Communist Manifesto. And what it does is it takes those of us who are making money, and it makes us servants, and it makes us afraid of our own government.
Can I guess the number one plank of the Communist Manifesto?
Shoot. Baby.
From each according to his abilities to each according to his needs.
Yeah, or the philosophy of the Democrat Party.
Democratic Party.
No, Democrats.
That's what they call themselves.
No, they're not Democratic. They're Democrats.
Hey, I hope you all had a happy 4th of July.
I know you got the one sound effect. You want to hit the button. But
wait, that I say is from Grant Park last night. Oh, which one is this from? Where do you think this was?
Check it out. I took 10 M80s and stuck them all together. I call it Bunker Bustin' Mega Ultra Super. Ah!
That's from Quahog.
I've never watched an episode of that.
You have never watched Family Guy?
I don't really watch much TV.
You don't like sports.
Do
you don't like Family Guy.
No, right. I just watch this kind of stuff. But I wanted to address something that I think is important because I'm getting a lot of texts and stuff. People think it's getting a little crazy. But I'm not anti-Trump as I'm accused of. Okay? First of all,
Did you vote for Trump?
No.
Who did you vote for? Evan McMullen?
I did what
you didn't
I do.
Vote?
Yeah, like when
you're
when,
an NT-er. You're a never Trumper.
No, I'm not. When Rauner ran, I did the same thing. I take my ballot and I write not good enough and I follow it. I give it to the guy. And the guy always looks at it and goes, you didn't vote on a lot. Yeah, I know, dummy.
First of all, I don't like that when they do that. They shouldn't do that. It's been done to me too.
Yeah.
Where the guy, and he says it in front of other people.
Say whatever you want.
What happened to the privacy of the voting booth, the sanctity of the voting booth? You got some.
I don't think there should be. What do you think of that? There's another thing.
What? You should walk in naked to the voting booth.
How did the Illinois Democrats build an army of loyalists? How did they do it? They built it because they have their workers. They have those that want to be workers. They have those that depend on the work. They built an army, and they let them hide under a little curtain. Here you go. I voted for Madigan, but I pretend to be a conservative, and I call in talk radio. Well, now you're a lying scumbag.
There should be disclosure.
Let's know who
you are. Should there be disclosure on all contributions that are made?
Absolutely. Let me see the
payoffs.
Everything
is open. So that's Dick Durbin's view of things.
Let me see the payoffs.
Then people are intimidated.
How many companies?
What about people who want to donate and don't want it to be known because they know that there are going to be repercussions because of that? That would chill their freedom of speech. They wouldn't be. Should everybody on Twitter have to use his or her own name?
I'll tell you the
truth. I mean, how open do we have to be? Not everybody is as open as you are and can afford to do that.
What do you mean? Listen, here's the thing. We let people hide behind rules, pretend laws. We let them hide in the shadows, right? Where they get to buy government off and then pretend they're against it. Blue Cross Blue Shield comes to mind. But let's just pick one of these companies or pick one of these.
Well, most corporate people, for example, privately are conservative, but then they've got to toe the company line.
Well, then don't let them hide.
Or the politically correct line, yeah.
Don't let them hide. You are what you are. Stand up like a man and be who you are. Don't do one thing and preach another. That makes you a scumbag.
Well, as I always say, hypocrisy is the tribute that vice pays to virtue.
Look at these guys who are in
this
wine club.
Is that the phrase that pays?
Yes, that's why I'm so disgusted with the Illinois Republican, right? Because they're chameleons. When they're around guys like me, they pretend to be free market conservatives.
Right.
In the shadows, what are they looking to do? They're looking to hire a lobbyist and pay to play.
They're part of they're part of John Cass's combine.
Until you take
what he calls the combine.
Until you take the shields away, you'll never see who they are. So that's if you want to really solve the problems, let them put light on everything. Let them stop hiding in the shadows.
Can we take a call here at 312-642-5600? Let's go to Frank from Canaryville. Good morning, Frank. Sing like a canary.
Good morning, Bruce.
Yes.
The canary in the coal mine. I was wondering if Michael Mathers, Father Flager, he does sound like Eminem a bit.
Sure.
The beautiful rapper is still planning on shutting down the Dan Ryan Express.
Right. That's scheduled for tomorrow. He's going to shut down
tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Oh, no, not tomorrow. Saturday. Saturday, he's going to shut down the Dan Ryan because I forgot the cause du jour. What is this? Oh, he wants to stop violence in the city of Chicago. Something like that. The chronic problem.
Right.
Would you please tell me, Frank, the causal nexus between demonstrating on the Dan Ryan and affecting change in the hood? I say let's build another Whole Foods store in Englewood. Shouldn't that solve the problem, Frank?
I tend to agree. Now, another question. Ken Duncan in the 5th District, which is close to me. Now, he is working at the Water Reclamation District. Now, I think Duncan should have passed out donuts to...
Dunkin' Donuts.
Thank you, Frank.
You got a million of them. Thanks so much. Let's go to Mike from the north side of Chicago. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm disappointed in you this morning.
Thank you.
You were so close to the truth.
Then Bruce interrupted
you. Did not open up.
Go ahead, Mike.
But he interrupted you. You didn't open up the door and walk through it. You said the Democratic Party is like the Communist or Socialist Party. No, they just use that as their front. They want you to think that.
Yeah.
What they really are is corporate cronyism. The relatives are invested in the companies that get government largesse. Read the book by Ovid Damaris, Corrupt City, Chicago in Chains.
Yeah, I saw
Corrupt City.
Sure.
It's about how the outfit did it and the Chicago Democratic machine, which influenced Clinton and influenced Obama, is doing the same thing. They put their kids on at Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs is a piece of every contract.
It's part of their playbook. Okay. Thanks so much, Mike.
He can't help it. That's where I was going, and I wanted to touch upon, before I was so rudely interrupted by one Bruce Wolf, the idea that we have separate laws of investing. I was going to talk about, we were on the campaign contributions, but I also want to talk about congressmen and their cohorts and their ability to inside trade. How do you think they become multi-millionaires? What do you think the net worth is of Paul Ryan, who has never had a job? Never. He was the wiener truck mobile in college. Never worked. He's worth tens of millions. Mitch
shoe contracts. He's got shoe contracts, doesn't he?
John Boehner.
Yeah.
Dick Durbin. His wife is a lobbyist. By the way, you know who she lobbies with? Naperville. How do you think Naperville gets all the free cheese? It's all a scam. We pretend there's some wall, some barrier, some pretend where their laws are equal among us.
I get it. Rahm Emanuel got the vigorish on a deal between Bill Daly and Bruce Rauner. And it's like five guys who control everything.
So you know what will save us? Yeah. If the Illinois Republicans, if we just give Rauner one more chance and forget about the fact Durkin, Brady, all the money they're making from lobbying. Scumbag.
All right, we got a couple of callers on hold here. Give us a call at 312-642-5600. We need the callers because we don't have any guests. Although Sean, to me, is
am I the guest?
You're the man who came to dinner and didn't go away. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson here for Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Bruce Wolf, Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Let's plow through a couple of quick calls here, right? I want to get to Anna, but let's go to Mike from Elgin. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I wanted to make the point. Sean, why are you a practicing communist?
Oh, okay. Hit me with it, 'cause I'm not.
How's he a communist, Mike? Make your case in 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, he files a probably files a form every April 15th and pays the communist tax.
All right. So he should not abide by the Internal Revenue Service code. Thanks so much.
Well,
appreciate the call. All right, here we go. I don't think your mic's on, Sean.
Is it on now?
No. All right, so we got a problem. Sean's mic, it's a technical workshop here. We'll figure it out. Anna?
Good morning.
Good morning, Anna. How are you?
Fine, thank you. 4th of July is over, and I'm glad.
Sure.
But like I said, you and Sean talk about this and that and this and that, and I have four questions I'd like to ask. Maybe you will take it into consideration.
Sure.
Okay, one is, who's monitoring Elon Musk with all these commercial shuttles, with all these shuttles going on?
All right, Elon's brother?
Elon Musk, I will answer. Elon Musk, of course, has offered to help with the children and the Thai soccer team members who are stuck in that cave, and he does have some experience with below-surface tunneling in the United States via his boring company.
Yeah, but it's changing our weather.
Is Eli Elon's cousin? Who's Eli?
She said
Elon.
Elon. She said
Elon. Right.
So here's the thing. Wait, hold on a second, Anna.
Okay.
What I'm worried about is why isn't CNN doing wall-to-wall coverage on this Thai rescue mission? That's what makes people watch CNN. When the Russian airlines are downed and they go into black holes, according to Don Lemon. Okay, go ahead, Anna, your next question.
Okay, who is going to be growing all this marijuana and where? For all these pharmaceutical companies.
What's the problem with that? Elon Musk is going to be doing it.
No, the lobbyist's cousin.
Yeah.
Come on, we all know the answer.
Question, Anna.
Are they all employed in Mexico and Honduras and South America because we legalized marijuana?
All right, Anna, we're running out of time here.
Okay,
give us a third question. Yes.
Third question. Okay. Are they all Catholics in Father Flager's ward? Why doesn't he, when he sees a body on the street, why doesn't he give him the last rites? That's what the Catholic priest is supposed to.
I think he assumes that it's Catholic, and so he gives the last rites to everybody.
They don't.
Because everybody's dead in his ward. All right, final question, Anna.
Okay, the third question.
Fourth question.
The fourth question.
Yeah.
Is why was Mike Madigan at Bruner's restaurant on Oakley on Saturday?
He's got to eat.
What are you, cup?
The question isn't why he was there. It's why he didn't pick up the check.
Sightseeing Mike Madigan at a restaurant and not the pump room. Thanks so much, Anna. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Our telephone number is 312-642-5600. We need your calls because we don't have any guests. Although Sean and I may call in imitating Sean McCollin, imitating Stephen Moore. I will be Alan Dershowitz calling in and saying, I don't know why the people in the Hamptons don't invite me to their parties anymore. I don't mind it so much because I stand for principles and they don't like it when I defend Donald Trump because I believe he should not be accused of anything or railroaded because merely because he's the president of the United States. And I felt the same way about Hillary Clinton when she was running. We shouldn't weaponize the FBI that way.
You know, I think therefore I am. So often I'm accused of being an anti-Trumper when I'm not. But I just want to rage against him when he's wrong, which is his economic policies. I want to praise him when he's right, which is his philosophy of the Supreme Court picks. So I was looking forward to the Dershowitz interview because I wanted to ask in the most serious way. Dershowitz couldn't catch a train on time. Anyway,
really,
I wanted to ask on the most serious point of how we are so downriver on judicial activists being focused on rather than those judges that actually swear to uphold the Constitution and do so. For instance, I don't know why there's anything other than an originalist judge. I think the end of all of our problems would be is if government was restrained the way it was intended to be.
Sean, I'm not an attorney like you are or
sure
purporting
are.
To be. But, you know, it's legal mumbo jumbo. Everybody always talks about, oh, I want to be an originalist, or I think we have a living, breathing Constitution. And everybody changes his or her position as the issue warrants. You had Senator Collins.
Shaky DeMoyle?
A blithering idiot.
Shaky DeMoyle? Sounds like the battery's reversed.
On the other day. One of the morning shows saying that I believe in settled law.
Like slavery and segregation?
Right. Plessy versus Ferguson? Give me a break.
Stupid.
Come on.
So
we've got a text here from, not a text, a tweet from Holly from Hudson. Mm-hmm. And she says, since you guys are flying by the seat of your pants today, can you please do a marriage advice segment to Chance the Rapper who got engaged yesterday? Or as I like to call him, good old number three. Chance the Rapper. So you've been married several decades. I've been married a few decades.
No, just 18 years, going on 19. And I'll tell you what, I'm not the guy to give advice. I think my wife, she doesn't want to go through the process.
My advice,
she'll outlive me.
My advice would be, and this is serious advice, and I know I'm the boy who cried Bruce Wolf on this because everybody thinks I'm always kidding. Just listen.
They don't want
answers.
Yeah. The reality
they
is.
They want you to listen. That's part of their process.
You're in a weak position.
Listen to their process.
You're in
go through
position.
Their process. Have you seen the Bill Hader show? He's a mobster. He's a hitman. I forgot what it's called. It's on HBO. It's like eight episodes. Huh. It's kind of a cross between The Sopranos and and Breaking Bad. It's derivative of that, but it's pretty funny. It's called Barry.
Okay.
And it's very funny, but he wants to be an actor, except he has no acting chops. But he's a great hitman.
Why doesn't he become a newscaster?
So what happens is that he, and I don't want to give it away, but he's really wooden. But he's playing the guy who in Macbeth who tells Macbeth that Lady Macbeth has died, and he can't really deliver the lines right in any of the rehearsals. But right before his actual performance, he has to perform a hit on somebody that he doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. So he's really torn about it, that he actually killed this guy that he didn't want to. So that makes him cry.
Riveting.
When he delivers his line, and that's part of his process.
Oh.
I'm just saying, let the woman go through her process
Anna's
right there.
A long time.
Yeah, really. Let's go to John from Palatine. Good morning, John.
Hey, Bruce and Sean. Always great to hear from you guys. But I had an idea. I was thinking that we should maybe send Bruce Rauner over to the kids in Thailand because his administration's been drowning for years and he's still alive.
Oh, boy. You got a million of them. Thanks so much, John. Why isn't CNN covering, doing wall-to-wall or tunnel-to-tunnel coverage of this situation in Thailand? They don't happen every day. We haven't had a great airline disaster in a couple of years.
Huh? What do you mean it's going to take months to save these kids? Are you watching the news? It's going to take months to save these
kids. It's possible. It's going to rain on Saturday.
I mean, I
would say Elon Musk, here's what he should do, because he can't actually rescue
them. Build one of those tunnels that the Chicagoans are going to pay $19 billion
for? He doesn't know how to do anything.
Right.
What he should do is because they don't want to risk it with these kids in scuba gear. Apparently, it's very dangerous for even experienced divers to negotiate these kinds of streams and rivers or whatever. And some of these kids don't even know how to swim.
Come on.
He could give them the incentive, though. He could say, look, if you're willing to do this, there's a Tesla at the end of this for you. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
Look at you. Motivate them.
Yeah.
Well, here's
a little
the thing.
Motivation.
Remember Sequest? You know, I'm a kid that was born in the late 60s.
All right.
They got a bubble they put on the kid's head. He goes through. He could breathe. He could talk the whole nine yards. We can't get those bubbles anywhere? What the hell's wrong with people?
CNN, programming note, because right now CNN's got the story. This United Kingdom couple was poisoned by the same nerve agent used on the ex-Russian spy. So they're just thinking there probably was residual poison there, and a couple of people were unfortunately exposed to it in the UK. I hope it doesn't wreck our summit with Putin.
We're not going to do anything Dan Prof does. We're not going to prepare. We're not going to have topics. We're going to stick to the topics. We're not going to dissect the topics. We're just going to talk about what's on the news, because I'd rather talk about what HUD did as far as making
background checks. Would Dan Prof let you talk about HUD?
Hold on a minute. HUD, strengthened the law where landlords, you can't run a background check because criminal records are now a protected class.
You can't run a background check against a landlord.
No, landlords can't run it against
a prospective tenant. Against the tenant.
Because now what the government has done, and this is Donald Trump's government, has now made criminal records a protected class.
Why would Donald Trump's government do that? That's got to be some lower level bureaucrat that's done it, and it should be overturned by Donald Trump's government.
You would think that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is
a scoundrel, it's a canard,
hiding behind rainbows and lollipops. They give a good title, and you turn out it's a nationalization of all business.
Of course,
you think he would have, as a businessman, destroyed that. This is the things I had hope that maybe he would do.
Well, he's not that effective. I mean, he's good at speechifying, but the execution of some of these things doesn't come through.
But like I said earlier, Washington has become Madison Avenue, and politicians have become ad men. They just throw out bumper sticker phrases, and we let them wallow in their failure. We let them self-identify. Who's a conservative?
It's tough to fight the bureaucracy.
But you have to do it.
You try. I remember when Nixon was supposedly going to fight the bureaucracy. He wanted to get some building torn down. Even he couldn't get it done. And everybody wanted it torn down.
And what happened under Nixon, the Republican?
Nixon was one of the most liberal presidents there ever was.
OSHA, EPA, Board of Education, all under
Nixon. Wage and price controls, recognizing China. I still recognize Chiang Kai-shek.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I don't care about these Xing Pings and all those guys.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Uh-huh. I saw what you did. What do you want me to do? Give you a clapping standing ovation? Did you catch the joke, ladies and gentlemen?
All
right.
It
was Bruce Wolf peeking right there.
Bruce Wolf, Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Close the door. Yeah, now we're talking.
Is that Chance the Rapper, riddle number three?
Happy birthday,
Bill. Is that Barry White? Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Our telephone number is 312-642-5600. We need your calls because we didn't line up any guests. We're just kind of easing through. This is an extended weekend here. As a matter of fact, I was listening on the way in just to find out what was going on. So I listened to the recording of the Hugh Hewitt show.
Yeah.
And he had this author, Dan Silva, on for three segments about some novels that I never heard of.
Which explains why his television show was canceled in like
by
6 weeks.
By MSNBC.
Yeah,
Hugh Hewitt's a smart guy.
Unlikable.
Unlikable?
I don't like him.
Okay. Meantime, what else happened yesterday? There were celebrations like on the White House lawn, which were carried by the Hallmark Channel. So, I mean, it's there's a reason we're on right now, Sean. Okay.
They couldn't get a hold of John Cass.
312-642-5600. Now, I noticed that one of the big stories is that at Wimbledon, and by the way, it's pronounced Wimbledon, even though it's spelled with a D. It's pronounced like a T. At the All England Club on yesterday, Serena Williams is now called Mrs. Williams. Now, here's the thing. She got married to a guy named Alexis Ohanian, an internet entrepreneur. She didn't take his name.
Internet entrepreneur means he's an unemployed coder.
Well, he's married to Serena Williams. She's
There's
the breadwinner.
There's a payday at the end of that. Yeah, that's a guy that could keep his eye on the ball. Sure, honey. Jump into my arms. Jeez. Jeez. Listen, I'm not going to do any Bo Jackson jokes or any cheap shots. So no matter how much you bait me, I'm not biting.
Well, I want what I was trying to do was set up a joke by Michelle Wolf.
All right,
okay, remember
ahead.
Michelle Wolf, the one who made fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders
at the, ugly
the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Can't do that.
Well, the thing is that she actually had a what I thought considered a tasteless but funny joke. The two are not mutually exclusive. So she's not totally anti-Republican.
Wait a minute, though. This is the sexually frustrated broad who's pro-abortion, makes fun of abortion like it's some fun thing, right? This is the cutting edge.
She's a horrible, disgusting person.
Rat.
All right, so here's what her joke was, as I recall it now. I'm not reading it, and I'm not great at telling other people's jokes. No Henny Youngman am I, or Milton Berle, in more ways than one. But here's the thing. So here was the joke. Sports Illustrated named its male athlete of the year, LeBron James. Sorry, Serena. Ba-dum-bum. So that was the joke.
You're repeating her joke.
It's not your own joke,
right? I mean, how much heat can we take this morning?
It was not my joke. But they're calling her Mrs. Williams. The thing is that she would actually be Mrs. Ohanian, not Mrs. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
She's not taking her own.
I'm not too big on taking the name. I could care less, honestly.
Could not care less.
All right.
Okay, but what do you mean taking the name?
Taking your husband's name. It's irrelevant to me. It's irrelevant.
So you're new school.
Yeah, I don't.
You are a communist, aren't
look
you?
Look at that, huh?
I used to think that, remember when the rage was that women would have these hyphenated names? You don't see it as much anymore, but there was this rage like in the 80s and 90s where the women would have these hyphenated names.
These
They'd keep their maiden name and then take the husband's name, but it'd be hyphenated. I thought that women, then when they were born, when they were babies, on their birth certificates, there should just be a hyphen at the end of their name, like a railroad railroad car coupling. But you wouldn't have, obviously, the last name that she was going to take, but the maiden name should have the hyphen affixed to it.
Now, you know, my philosophy on the whole marriage thing that I find, you know, and it's going to, it gets people fired up. Why is the government in the licensing of love? I think it solves everybody's problem.
Now, in Alabama, did you know what they happened as a reaction to the gay marriage decision?
They
got rid of marriage licenses.
Why wouldn't you?
Now all you have is an affidavit.
What business of it? Why is there a tax advantage? It's manipulation. It's social engineering through law, and they call it a marriage license. Honest to God, you'd solve a lot of problems.
What they did, it was a reaction.
And who's in charge of the government? Freaks like that pedophile Hastert?
Hastert.
Whatever.
Hastert.
Fat slob that he is, and all these other scumbags that we pretend, half of them, their whole mission is to sleep with either their page girl or page boy off in Washington, Caligula for nerds. And they get to decide, who's in charge of licensing of marriage.
What happened in Alabama was they had a lot of people that didn't want to issue marriage licenses to gay couples. So they circumvented it by getting rid of marriage licenses. Now all you have to do is have an affidavit. So that was actually not a libertarian thing. That was a reaction to the gay marriage decision.
Bunch of people intimately involved with their relatives deciding who gets to marry who.
Speaking of people in government involved in nefarious activity, you see that our guy, Representative Jim Jordan, who, you know, he's the guy who's spearheading the effort to skewer the FBI, he's having to defend himself now because he was an assistant wrestling coach at Ohio State University, and apparently there was the team doctor is being accused of having boys in the showers or they're saying that the team doctor would soap up his groin
easy
area
now,
in the shower
easy.
A lot. And why was he taking showers
they
anyway? And that Jim Jordan was aware of this stuff, and Jim Jordan says
Jim
he
Jordan,
wasn't.
What's Jim Jordan supposed to do? Here, I got
he
a
says
freak
he wasn't
in the
aware
corner
of it.
Lathering his private area, and somehow, what's Jim Jordan going to run in there in his windbreaker? Stop it! Stop it! No, let the people,
look,
if you're offended at some fella in the shower, voice your opinion.
He claims that he wasn't aware of that at all, and everybody else from the team says, he knows about it. Yeah. This all happened. I don't know. It's not like, you know, what happened with the assistant at Penn State, Sandusky, but it sounds bad enough.
How about Hassert?
Bad enough.
Let's talk about Hassert. He was the coach again, and it's wrestling. What's with the wrestling?
So the only thing that really bothers me at all about Jim Jordan is he never wears a sports jacket or a suit coat.
Why would he?
He's always in his shirt sleeves. It's like
I got a good wrestling story in high school. Right. So my buddy, my very good friend of mine was like a state champion, and I sure. played. You wouldn't know it by my lack of interest, but I played football a couple years.
Really?
Ago. Yeah, sure. It was fun. So I try out for the wrestling team. And my first day in wrestling, I'm wrestling, and this guy takes his head, and he's rubbing it on. You know how they rub it on your face, and they're rubbing it? So I grab him by that little outfit he had on. It's that nylon little dainty.
Right.
You know, it's like a tutu without the frills.
What, he was rubbing his head on you?
Rubbing his head on the side of my face.
Okay.
And I just pummel him. And the coach comes
Wait a minute, that's not wrestling.
And the coach comes over and goes, maybe this isn't for you. And that was my big wrestling
That was mixed
career.
Martial arts before it was even created.
I invented it. Sure, there you go. I'll take full credit for that. Yeah,
I'd like to see you go a couple of rounds with Rousey. You know.
I'd like to do it, too.
Do they have male and female mixed martial arts? Do they the men and the women fight each other?
You got to say you're transgendering, then all bets are off.
Well,
maybe.
That would be, like, to me, actual mixed martial arts.
There you go.
If they did it.
Yeah.
We've created a new sport here.
Saturday night in a mobile home park. A bunch of guys beating the hell out of women.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
You want more than just the headlines? Find out what's going on and what it means with me, Dennis Prager, this morning at 11, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. We have no guests, so call us, 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. We do have I got a tweet from Kevin Rooney. We were talking about Elon Musk, who's offered to rescue those Thai soccer team members who are stuck in that cave. And he says, the hell with Elon Musk. Let El Chapo and his boys get those Thai kids out. Those guys are faster, cheaper, and have experience with water tunneling under the Rio Grande and all. I like that.
You want to get something done, go to the right people.
So then there's this other story we saw. And we're just looking at things on the TV screen and
because you
ripping
did
off
prep.
That. Yeah. So there's a story about this 92-year-old woman. I forget where she's from. They show the picture of her. Looks like a mugshot. But she's a 92-year-old woman whose son wanted to put her in assisted living, a nursing home. She did not want to do that, so she shot him dead.
Oh,
now, to
go.
Me, that
proves
is...
to me she's out.
Right, that is evidence of, not necessarily dispositive of the issue, but it is evidence of her ability to take care of herself.
Absolutely.
By taking care of her
First
son.
First of all, I don't like the whole age, you know, we tuck our parents away. I don't like it. I don't
What do
like
you do with them?
As a parent... What do we sacrifice for our kids? When I get old, you take care of me and you shut up and do it with a smile.
Yes, but I mean, isn't there a certain point at which it's a little bit difficult?
No, because we tuck them away in some old people's home,
right?
Then we get guys from your neighborhood suing the old people's home, left, right, and center.
Well, for
Society
bed sores.
Society pays for that
for
cost.
Bed sores, yeah.
It's all one big scheme. We don't want to live up to our responsibility. They gave birth to you. You take care of them, you ungrateful
Well, you know,
rat.
I will say this in a larger sense. We used to have these extended families. You know, the grandparents would live, not when they needed to live in a nursing home. I'll leave that aside for a moment. But you'd have a couple or three generations living together, and there's some benefit to having the grandparents live with you.
See, but society,
we don't do that anymore. Everybody's, you know, it's this book called Bowling Alone. Did you ever read that? I didn't either, but I've seen the cover. And
what'd you get from it?
Well, it's the idea that we're so isolated. We're so fragmented. Our togetherness is on Facebook and Twitter when there's no real sense of community and there's no real sense of family.
You know,
what is wrong with people living together from one generation to the next?
Do you know why we're here in this position of society? Is because what are people? They're socialists. What is a socialist other than a thief with a coward, a cowardice thief? Mm-hmm. They don't have the courage to steal your money, so they want government to do it.
Sure.
What does society now tell you when it comes to taking care of your obligation? It's not really your obligation. Let's tuck them away in an old people's home. And then they got the people in the old people's home that show you how to scam the system, how to take the assets out so that nobody pays but Social Security.
Medicare.
And we pretend that this is all part of... Look at its government working. It's just
but
you
gotta
being
do
a
it,
scumbag in
enough
each and
years
every case.
Got to do it several years ahead of time because
you got one mother,
otherwise you won't be able to get it done.
You got one mother and one father. It's your job. take care of him. I don't like it any more than you do. I got an old man down there. You know what he's costing me? A fortune. I got to pay. Not only do I got to pay a cleaning lady, I got to pay extra because he wants her to do it in her underwear. Everything's expensive.
But why?
It's your obligation.
Shouldn't your father, and I don't want to make this personal, but you opened the door to it, shouldn't your father pay for his own cleaning lady in her underwear?
Especially in my case.
Why shouldn't he? So why are you taking on the obligation?
My old man never bought me sneakers, but we do what we have to.
Well, wait a minute. This sounds like there's some hostility here, and it sounds like you're taking it out. It sounds like you're taking it out on the Keynesians. some animus towards your old man. You're taking it out against
Donald
Trump.
They're my whipping post. No, I get a kick out of calling him up, seeing how he's doing. He's stumbling around the pool. It's fun.
But he's alive and kicking. Let's go to Lucas from Wheaton. Good morning, Lucas.
Hey, Sean and Bruce.
Yes.
I just want to comment to you guys. You know, I understand, Sean, where you're coming from about, you know, the kids should take care of the parents. You know, when this whole Obamacare thing came out, I told my mom, you know, she shouldn't have to go on state or federal welfare or health care, I meant. And I said, you know, you should just get on my health care. Well, you know what? She came back to Illinois from Colorado, that godforsaken state. And, you know, she needed a place to stay. Instead of her staying in her car, I put her up in my futon, in my one-bedroom apartment. But, you know, there comes a time where she's got to go, you know. I'm a single guy. Oh, geez. You know, she's got to go.
Does she own a gun? I just want to know that, Lucas, because I'm a little bit worried for your health.
Uh-huh.
Yes. First of all,
when you think bringing somebody from Colorado to Illinois is an upgrade, we've got to decide your whole decision process may be off.
I'm just worried about kicking mom off the futon. Lucas, I'm concerned for your safety here.
I don't know. As a parent of girls, I've earned it. You take care of me.
Yes, Lucas?
My gun is on the top shelf away from her, so she's good.
All right, so he thinks he can take the old lady. Okay.
Thank you, Lucas. Just be safe out there.
You realize
we appreciate it.
You realize that we've got poor Bob. He's called four times.
All right, let's talk
just
to Bob.
Just let him get the thunder
Hi,
out.
Hi, Bob from Buffalo Grove. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sean and Bruce. Thanks for taking my call. Back at about 6:30, you mentioned the HB1 program.
Sure.
Let me make a correction. It's H1B.
Right. We were thinking of some communicable disease, but go ahead.
Listen, I'm from Melrose Park. The fact I got all the things right, it doesn't have to be in the order. You understand? Melrose, not a great system.
Can I ask you a question, Bob, a threshold question, since, you know, Sean transposed the letter and the number? Shouldn't dyslexia be pronounced dyslexia? But go ahead, Bob. Yes.
I've been following, as an engineer, I've been following this issue for probably over 20 years.
Okay.
If you guys ever read the book, or you must know who Michelle Malkin
is,
right?
Come
sure.
on, yeah.
Right. What a firebrand she is.
Yeah, yes. If you read her book, Sold Out.
Yes, I have.
I mean, that just shows you the problem with that program. It started off in 1990 with some good
intentions,
ideas.
Right.
But it has been so perverted or whatever. The top users of the program are Indian outsourcing firms. And if you really get into it, you must have heard of the Disney case, right?
Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Disney. Locally here, we've got the Abbott. Abbott pulled the same thing last year.
And why don't you tell our listeners who don't know me what this is all about?
They went to third world countries to hire cheaper labor to do the same, and in some cases, better job.
Undercut Americans
because
that
those
way.
People were supposedly educated in America, which is not necessarily completely
And we're talking
true.
Six-figure jobs right now because we got to protect the six-figure income people, but God forbid we should protect the people who are living barely above the subsistence level.
But they're only paying them $60,000. And
so
then
what?
If you really get into it, years ago I stumbled upon, you can if you know how to do it, you can find out who's using these visas. And, it must have been 15 years ago, I found one. Of all people, Jimmy John's fast food
so what?
Needed an H-1B.
Yeah, so what?
Right, there
I have
you
no
go.
Problem with this. Now, let's hold on a minute, Bruce. I want to tell you about something, okay?
Yes.
When you and I first met, do you remember? It was. You could hang up on Bob. Do I have to hear his kitchen making eggs there? When you and I first
thought Bob
met,
might have a rejoinder
you
to
invited
what you have to
me,
say here.
You invited me for coffee in the city. You remember that?
Right. We had it at a Starbucks.
Once again,
Al Fresco.
Correct.
Yes.
So we went.
Me, you, and Dan.
We went for coffee, and I told
We couldn't
you,
believe what you looked like. We had imagined you.
Yeah.
Yes. We thought this was a ne'er-do-well, but you turned to be a good-looking guy. Go ahead. Yeah.
So anyway. I presented to you an idea I had when I originally realized what was happening was that we were Chicagoing the entire country, right? The socialists were taking over. And I had said to you, I got an idea. You remember this? And it was called the Capitalist Union. Ring a bell now?
No.
Okay, so I had an idea, concept, where capitalists would form a union, not the typical kind of union now, which is American communism called the Teamsters, right. A union not that protected some sort of imaginary pay, or as I like to call
it, mediocrity
at high prices.
So you're talking about a cartel. You're talking about a cartel.
An idea of capitalists, okay, where we would be able to go and seek out other capitalists. Because the problem with society is that we as capitalists have enriched the non-capitalists. The problem is these protectionist policies, like what the caller was espousing. So what that Jimmy John's hired a coder for $60,000 and didn't pay $110,000 the way the pretend industry deems it should be paid? That's called capitalism, where you seek out the best value for your dollar.
All of a sudden, we should just have porous borders. We should just let anybody in take away American jobs.
Those are two separate issues. You're starting to sound like these Trump people. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, you're going to sound like an insurance broker who pretends to be a Trump supporter because he wants free market. They don't. They don't
well,
want
capitalists
free market.
Never, capitalists
capitalism is
don't
free
even,
market.
Capitalists don't believe in capitalism.
No.
Capitalists believe in helping themselves.
You're talking about the Chamber of Commerce, which tries to bastardize the rules by paying government to prostitute
Shouldn't
extortion.
We protect six-figure income workers?
Of course not. You protect nothing. You do what you can, right? Okay. I mean, look at my poor guy over here. He's got the windbreaker on. He put all his money in Sanka. That's not my fault. I'm still buying breakfast.
312-642-5600. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson with a no-guest Thursday on AM 560 The Answer.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson eating the food provided by Sean.
Yeah.
A little trick I learned from Steve Dahl.
Say there's no free lunch.
Eating on the radio. It's the best bit.
Easy now. You go down with a gripper, I'm going to have to do the whole show.
Exactly.
And it might be good.
I think I got a little heartburn from it.
Might straighten things out.
Let's take a call from Berlin right now, from the South.
Berlin,
excuse me. Exxon.
All right,
yeah.
All right. What's going on, Bruce? All right, now, Sean.
Yep.
Okay, I've been meaning to call you and talk to you for a while. Now, I got one statement and one question. Okay, the statement is, I let seven guys listen to your show. They work in steel and manufacturing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said they listened to you and listened to you talk. They said you don't know what you're talking about because if with these tariffs that Donald Trump put in place, it's gonna do good for steel, and your beer cans only gonna go up a penny, and whatever gold prices goes up at Walmart is gonna go up anyway because prices go up anyway.
What do you mean prices go up anyway? From the magical price fairy?
Prices go up anyway, and overall you gotta have short term. Hurt for long-term gain because you're going to get a better deal out of it in the long run.
Which was the pitch of the Nazis. Yeah, that was what the Nazis said. Here's the thing why they're wrong.
Oh, let's not get Godwin's law in here. Don't bring in
the Nazis. Number one, the steel production has never been higher since the 70s than it was last year. They don't need help. Number two, what they're afraid of is what every protectionist failed union hack is afraid of. Competition. Better products brought to you at cheaper prices. So the idea, I don't drink beer, so I don't care what beer goes up. That's not the issue. The issue is for every dollar you magically take out of the economy is a dollar that isn't real anymore. So we're subsidizing your seven pals. And I don't care.
Verlon
I could care less
the prices,
what they think of my opinion.
The ancillary industries is only going to be a penny increase.
Yeah. They can't produce. They can't compete.
I'm not as educated as you, Sean, so I had to go to the horse's mouth with people that work in the industry.
They're not the horse's mouth. They're the horse's rear end. Go ahead, Verlon.
They're not the horse. They're the whore.
Do you have another comment, Verlon?
Yeah, yes, I do. Now, Sean, we had a bet. In May, and Carnelo went over in Mexico and ate something and came up dirty. But the fight is back on, so I want to know, is our bet back on?
Yes,
I
it is.
Triple G and you said, huh?
Yes, I never
what
walk away from
what are you talking
bet.
About?
We bet on a boxing man.
A boxing man.
It's September. It's September 15th. I just got one more question. Mm-hmm. Can I get you out of the house to come up to X's and O's and hang with me for the fight, or do I got to go half with you and get the fight on pay-per-view at the shop?
I'm antisocial. I'll pay for the pay-per-view. You come to the
show.
What
part of the South Side are you from, Verlana?
Okay, September 15th.
Okay.
What did you say, Bruce?
What part of the South Side are we talking about? We don't really want to venture there. What are you talking about?
No. Over on 127th and Ridgeland.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing but white people around now. Nothing but white people.
Easy now. I don't.
Thanks, Verlana. Appreciate the call.
Listen, I like to drive. Listen, when I used to work at the Mercantile Exchange,
yeah,
I rarely took the expressway. Rarely.
I would just take Madison Avenue all the way. Okay.
Madison Avenue straightway. Because I'm going to tell you something. Until you get an appreciation for exactly the failure, you cannot articulate what the failure is. So in other words, we pretend that there's some mystical failure on the South Side.
Please,
and we don't know how it got
remind me tomorrow. We're filling in tomorrow. You could probably give us alternate routes. You can be our GPS, our Siri, because Father Flager is going to be blocking the Dan Ryan on Saturday. So you could probably tell us what streets that we could take without getting shot when we're going south side of Chicago.
I love Father Flager because he gives me an out when they ask me for more money. I say, are you kidding me? Look at Father Flager, this scumbag. I'm not giving you 5 cents except for tuition.
Yeah. And Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. We have no guests today, but you're our guests. Give us a call, 312-642-5600.
And the nice thing is you don't have to have a topic. Just talk about anything the way we do.
Whatever you want, as long as it's conservative ranting, we don't mind. Let's go to Dave. Dave from Elk Grove, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just had a question. What kind of liability the city and the event organizers would have on the protest march on the 7th if emergency vehicles need to get to an event or back to the hospital?
That would be zero, Dave. Aren't you
Dave, I
attention?
Love your cynicism. Yeah. So Father Flager flummoxes me. Say that 10 times real fast. Father Flager is having this march. He's closing down, effectively. He announced this like 2 months ago. They're closing down the Dan Ryan on the 7th Saturday so that he can march to protest violence in the neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. And now, Dave, you're asking, what if emergency vehicles can't make it through?
Does the
city have liability? I think that's very, very interesting. So, Dave, are you a tort attorney? I wondered.
No, but I probably missed a call.
You certainly did. Thanks so much, Dave. We appreciate the
call. I
want
to ask you a question as a lawyer. Yes. What's the city's liability ever? City has no liability.
Oh, no, they've got liability.
None.
The people pay
for their mistakes.
Oh, I see.
$2.2 million because Rahm wanted to keep the guy on, then fired him. We just paid for the Laquan McDonald thing.
Well, we're going to pay a lot more for
who paid
Laquan
what?
McDonald.
$18-20 million. Listen to me. That doesn't affect anybody who actually did anything wrong. That just affects the pigeons, a la the suckers
by the way,
who pay taxes in Illinois.
Can I ask
and
Quinn,
Chicago,
our producer Quinn? Can we get Rahm Emanuel on the show tomorrow? I'd like to cross-examine him for four.
Tell him they're recasting Willy Wonka's Oompa Loompas. Because get him on the phone.
I noticed that he goes on, you know, lame shows like the ones on WGN radio, which never ask him a tough question. So, you know, we want Rahm on. You know, put him on the blower tomorrow. We'll talk to him for 4 hours. We'll ask, what did he know and when did he know it?
Who's going to pay today
Laquan
when he goes
McDonald
to the Chop House?
Video. And, you know, and by the end of the show, he will have withdrawn from the race if he's ever going to enter it.
You know why I'm mad at myself? I went to lunch. I went to lunch.
Yes.
I'm not supposed to say this. I met Dan Proft, and we went to Erie Street Cafe.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this was a couple of summers ago.
Uh-huh.
There were, all of a sudden, these three SUVs pull up, all these guys all dolled up in their reverend suits, jump out of the car. It turns out it's Rahm Emanuel.
Sure.
And he's eating in Erie Street Cafe. So I tell the waiter, I said, give me a piece of paper and a pen. And I write on there, reserved for Rahm. And I went and hung it on the little urinal. Okay? Now, that was my way. On the little one.
On the little
urinal. That was my
urinal.
Way of saying, you know, here's to you. Instead, Maxine Waters now just said I could yell and shout and heckle. I would have much rather done that. Because there's one thing a guy from Melrose Park likes. It's being dragged away by police. And I love it.
I live for that. I was worried you were going to tell me you went to the restroom and there was a gun over the toilet and you were going to come out
Godfather.
Firing.
Nah. Oh, no,
thanks.
Let's not get crazy.
You,
I got way too much
reference.
To lose. Too pretty for prison.
Let's go to Jim from Rogers Park. Jim, West Rogers Park?
Oh. No, not West Rogers Park, Howard Street. Good morning, gentlemen.
Howard and what? Near the former site of the Learner newspapers, Howard and Ashland, where I used to work?
Exactly. Okay. Broadmoor Hotel.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So anyway, good morning, you guys. I'm going to try not to get cut off this time.
Sure.
Last time I swore, I said a word. And
yeah, that's
I
not a good
off.
Idea,
that's
Jim.
That's not us cutting you off. That's the regulators.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
No. I was talking to Sean. So I got two things. So one thing was just to keep your show entertaining, which was how responsible you think Jane Fonda is for turning CNN into a left-wing international propaganda tool. But when Sean started saying this about the tariffs, this is something that bothers me with Joe Walsh, too. I always think to myself, who's smarter, Trump or Sean? We know that Trump is doing these tariffs just to break the uneven playing field that's already there from the other idiots that made crappy deals. He's not going to keep the tariffs.
I don't see how a trade deficit, Jim,
it's the Texas Hold'em bluff.
First of all, Jim, I never got past the Jane Fonda thing. Are you saying that because she married Ted Turner that she wound up turning CNN into a propaganda machine?
Yeah, that's what I've been using in my mind regularly.
Okay, thanks so much, Jim, for your call. I appreciate it. Interesting thing, Jane. Were you on this day when Dan had this bit? It was at 6:36 the other day that women are hardwired to choose benevolent sexes.
Yeah, I was on.
Okay, because I was thinking even Jane Fonda married Ted Turner at some point.
It was a checkbook she married. It has nothing to do with his torso.
What did she need to marry a checkbook for? She's Jane Fonda. She must have. She's still living off the residuals of Barbarella.
There's two things I want to talk about. Yeah. There's two things I want to talk about real quick. Mm-hmm. Number one, we are not technocrats. We're a few intellectual elites, even to Jim's point. Let's say he's right and Donald Trump is the smartest guy in the world. You don't get to play with our macroeconomy like it was your Texas Hold'em game, which, by the way, that's a Kudlow excuse. That's a new created excuse. He's just going to put him on to take him off, which is like me saying, Bruce, stop beating your kid or I'll kill him.
Oh, so Larry Kudlow he doesn't really believe in this. This is just the out of the deal.
Here's the other thing.
Am I right?
This is a representative republic. You understand? One bell-bottomed old man, whether you love him or hate him, doesn't get to take our economy in his pocket, control, mandating and dictating
Trump
taxation.
Trump wears bell-bottoms?
Yeah.
I didn't
it's
know
about
that.
The fact. No,
I know his
a
ties are a little
reference.
Too long.
Anyway, it's about the fact that you're either a free economy. There is no we. This is another thing that annoys me. We have a trade deficit. These are individual companies, individual industries that are supposed to be privately held business.
Sean,
no state economy.
I'm flagging. Now.
I know.
I'm an old man, and we've been talking about the economy.
Paul, I got to correct them.
Can we just talk about the Supreme Court tomorrow? You know, I'm a lawyer.
Not that Jim's a moron.
I'm not registered. Let's go to Deborah from Arlington Heights. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Very good. Yourself. Happy 4th. Yes.
Same to you.
Yeah.
I wanted to comment on the Father Flager issue.
Sure.
I know it's our right to protest, but I really don't think that that's going to solve anything by shutting down the Dan Ryan.
No, this time
what
for
he
sure.
Could do that would, what he could do that would maybe really start making an impact is, you know, take a spot on TV or on the radio and start talking about what the real problems are, like absent fathers in the homes, you know.
How about another Whole Foods, you know, in Englewood? Would that help? Another Whole Foods?
This is going to work exactly as
Thank you, Deborah. Appreciate the call.
It's going to work exactly as intended, Bruce. It's going to get a lot more money and more grants for more programs that they can abscond with the funds. It's going to do exactly as what Flager wants.
Jeff from Dundee. Good morning, Jeff.
Bruce, being a lawyer, I've often thought that all the police officers in the state
Somebody
of
Somebody get
Illinois,
this guy a cough drop. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Anyway, they should carry professional insurance, just like an architect or an engineer. You know, if you're, you know, they need to, the taxpayers should be protected some way from malpractice. So these million dollar settlements
the protection is to vote the people out of office and put the proper people.
Leave him alone. He's finally a lawyer I agree with.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the call.
$300 an hour.
All right, let's
go to
Candace from DuPage. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning, guys. I'm photographing my house this morning because I think realtors make way too much money. And
that's a shot. That's a shot to me.
Myself, and I'm going to sell this sucker. And my second point is
sure.
Let me know how.
Wait a minute, Candace.
Okay,
are you moving again?
Sean, listen. We'll do it your way, as long as all the codes for housing and all that stuff that costs people a fortune and controls the market is thrown out as well. You want to throw out wages, all that? I believe that the liberal economic
I wouldn't buy your
business
house
school,
if it's not up to my
no,
standard.
I'm saying,
I don't need a village to come in and tell me what a standard is.
It's taught in economics 101.
Candace, are you telling us that there are no sprinklers and there's no sprinkler system in your house in case there's a fire? Is that what you're telling us, Candace?
Point.
Well, you,
no.
you don't want to do anything to live up to code.
If you want to have free, yes. true free markets, then that means all this code crap, which costs people a fortune and does control markets, needs to be thrown by the wayside too.
Candace, we don't have much time here, but I know the history of Candace because when we first talked to you years ago on another station, you were moving from the city because the cops weren't busting the hood's heads enough.
The standard
enough.
Of the
okay,
consumer
and now you're
is
moving
the regulation.
Again? You're moving again, Candace?
Is yeah, I'm moving again. Against, I'm getting out of Illinois.
You're exiting Illinois.
Yes. Okay. So.
You read that Tribune series and you decided to flee our jurisdiction. Where are you going, Candace? Where are you going to move to? Can you tell us?
Well, we're going to put most of our money in into a small town that I saw and within for a while in Colorado, actually.
Really?
This is a liberal state. Yep. But
and you're going to smoke
pot. It
actually
has water rights. It has water.
You just want the free marijuana, don't you? You just
scenery.
Want the legalized marijuana.
If you're going to be a communist, at least make the scenery pleasant.
Candace, we're going to miss you. Will you call in from Colorado? Because we're never going to let
no,
you go.
No, we're not going to live there. We're putting money there. And then we're going to buy something in Wisconsin
right.
or Indiana. We haven't
right.
decided
I don't,
yet.
Sounds like
I'm,
a plan that
okay.
needs an advisor. So
let's make sure there's no building codes in any of the places that you buy property in. Thanks so much, Candace. We appreciate the call. We'll take more of your calls.
This is the guy you grew up with in the 60s, that scoundrel with the car. What was that guy with the limp side of his face? He was big with the regulations. This is that the consumer is
too left side of his face.
The consumer is too stupid.
Ralph Nader?
Ralph Nader. Right. This is that the consumer
unsafe at any speed.
Correct.
Yes.
The consumer is too stupid to figure out what's best for him, for his own safety,
was,
for his own
that
good.
Was pretty good.
This is the argument of the tyrant.
It's pretty good that I guessed that from one clue.
Of course. Yeah. What do you mean? He's a big dummy. We can't move
Ralph
one side
Nader.
Of his face wants regulations.
Bruce
How hard is that?
And Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. So remember the old joke, is your refrigerator running? Well, apparently it was on the Stevenson at Damon today. A car hit a refrigerator. And that's your traffic for this morning.
Jumped right out in front of them.
Let's go to John from Mundelein. Good morning, John.
Good morning. You know, this is why guys like Sean are the biggest snowflakes of all. They whine about government tyranny, but what they're really whining about is, oh, the government is regulating me. I have to have a sprinkler system in my nightclub or emergency exits or fire extinguishers. I'm oppressed. I'm being oppressed.
That's not
You're
what I'm saying,
wimp.
Stupid.
You're a whiner. You
that's
have
not what
no
I'm saying, you coward.
Tyranny is.
Yeah,
you have
you're,
no
you're
idea.
A moron. Another communist
thank
obsessed
you, John.
With
thank
the
you
show.
For the call. Well,
I'm
I mean,
saying let the consumer decide the regulation. If the consumer values a property with a sprinkler system more than one without, then let them pay for it. If a guy owns a property and decides to put a sprinkler system in because he thinks it
would you allow
it,
municipalities?
Fine.
You don't allow municipalities to have regulations? Are you such a libertarian that there is no such thing as
which
government anywhere?
Listen, we're inundated with far too many, in particular building codes. In
particular, okay, fine, move
codes.
To a different community.
Because here, and then you beat me over the head how I have to pay for the firemen, right? 70% of the country, firemen are volunteer, but here in Illinois, they're paid like neurosurgeons.
Do you
well,
want,
then I don't want a sprinkler system. Let them go to work.
Isn't there something in between the neurosurgeon and the volunteer? Something in between?
Exactly. Fine. But I'm fine with that. But what you're doing is you're mandating sprinkler systems and not telling everybody. It's the sprinkler system company that lobbied you to make it a regulation so they've guaranteed profit.
Here,
you see the thing? Tesla?
Here is Gary who wants to say hi from Saugonash. Hi, Gary.
Let's go.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Just want to thank for all the years that I grew up in the morning watching the Son of Svengoolie.
Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate that.
Well,
that hurts.
That's not right.
Because there's no way that I'm the Son of Svengoolie. I'm not at all.
No.
Let's go to Steve from Niles. Hi, Steve.
Yes, Father Faker wants to shut down the Dan Ryan. Well, listen, why doesn't he shut down the yellow brick road to O'Hare Airport? Now, that's something spectacular.
If I only had a brain. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate
that. That was Spenguli's father, wasn't it? I couldn't tell if that was the lawyer that needed a cough drop. Or the.
I want to ask you something, Sean.
Shoot.
Tomorrow, can we have a no-tariff Friday? Because we have talked about tariffs.
Yeah, and it annoys
and
you.
I want to talk about the Supreme Court pick tomorrow, because Trump may make it today. He's not going to announce it until next week. My suggestion is, if it's that Catholic woman, Conan Barry, or whatever, Barrett,
there you go.
All she has to do is lie to Congress during her confirmation hearing. That's what Elena Kagan did about gay rights. She said there was no federal right to marriage for gays and during her confirmation hearings, and then she turned around and was in the majority in the Obergefell
case. She doesn't
want
to be a congressman. So, she doesn't have to lie.
All right, but let's have a tariff call right now very quickly. Will from Skokie. Good morning, Will.
Hey, guys, you got to remember that up until the early 20th century, tariffs were the major source of income for the country. What I'm for, you know, what Trump was saying at the G7 conference was do away with all tariffs. But what I say is let's have our tariffs match exactly the tariffs that other countries put on us.
No, see, here's Will. Don't you believe in unilateral free trade? Let them screw with their own countries. Remember when Trump was on Oprah 31 years ago and he said, look at the Japanese, they're going to take over the world. No, they didn't take over the world because they screwed up their own economy. Meanwhile, we had unilateral free trade with them. Thank you, Will. Am I right
you
about that,
great.
Sean?
I didn't have to say anything other than the fact
I've learned my lesson from you,
Sean. Yeah, tariffs
are
just extortions for consumers.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Sean, you want to play Guess Where the Fireworks Came From? You listen to the fireworks.
No, I want to make a bet.
Well, can we just, it takes 2 seconds.
Go ahead. You
this.
Got one button you want to click.
Humor
it.
The old man.
Click the button,
okay,
old
where
man.
Did these fireworks come from?
Check it out. I took 10 M80s and stuck them all together.
Okay, that
I
came from Quahog.
Bustin' Mega Ultra Super.
All right, where did these come from?
Roosevelt Road. That's the south side of Chicago.
I think it came from my daughter's house. That's where I was last night.
Was there a tariff on those fireworks?
My son-in-law puts on a fireworks show. It scares the hell out of his children.
Really?
It scares me. I don't want to admit it.
You get along with your in-laws like that?
Totally
you like them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, great.
Never wanted to beat the hell out of them? Not one
I want
time.
To beat the hell out of everybody, including myself.
You know, as a father of daughters,
yeah.
You know, she's young, teenager. She has yet to even say I'm interested in a guy. I didn't just want to beat the hell out of
him. Oh, you're a good father.
Yeah.
Let's go to Lee, who is in the from the south side of Chicago. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. Hey, I did want to say, Bruce, I love your years ago. I used to listen to your chat bit.
Thank you.
And that was a great bit. That was on, I don't know, Kevin Matthews or something. This
something,
was years ago.
Something. I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, he knows
but
everyone.
Anyway,
he knows what clothes
that's
he
that's right. It was on Kevin Matthews.
Is that Jimmy Shorts?
But,
Janet
Sean,
Reno, boy,
your
I'd
point.
Like to.
Go ahead,
Lee. Talk
I'm
about
sorry.
Me now. Can you let him
yeah,
talk?
I'm going
to. Sean, to your point about the code enforcement, I agree with you completely. You get some towns, like the town I live in, you'll have the code inspectors, and then they give out lists of contractors that'll fix the
right,
codes.
Right.
And the code inspectors are on the list of people that'll fix your codes.
Right,
your
and then it's the, and then the code inspectors get the kickbacks and everything like that, right?
And then you
Lee?
Know what else?
No, it's not even that they're getting a kickback. It's that they're doing the repairs. So it's a direct conflict of interest.
The
I don't
code
even know
inspectors,
how that's legal.
The code inspectors are the repairmen as well?
Oh, I have yet to see that, but yeah. He is from the south side.
Thank you, Lee.
So anything
appreciate
flies
it.
There. In fact, did you ever see these aldermen, these Chicago aldermen, and you look who gave them money, and they're all contractors in their district?
Sure.
I mean, it's just open and notorious bribery.
All right. So yesterday, Joey Chestnut took in 74 hot dogs and won the hot dog eating contest once again.
Why would you waste your
This place will erupt.
Brooklyn! Bring him the countdown has begun. Once again,
It's become old hand. It's become commonplace here in Coney Island.
Nathan's Famous owns July 4th.
All right, that's enough.
I want to watch a bunch of people without jobs shove food in their mouth. I'll go to a Costco cafeteria.
Let's hear Joey swallow some hot dogs.
Thank you, guys. Joey, congratulations on your 11th mustard belt in these hot, humid conditions. How'd you get it done today?
Oh, my God. I found a vicious rhythm. The judges were in front of me. They're all screwed up. They couldn't see what number I was on. I just had to ignore that and just keep eating.
He played
74
through
hot dogs. I murdered it.
He sounds like a sane guy.
Maybe I'm
sane.
Wrong. Maybe society does need overlords. Maybe they do need to be managed by a small amount, by a collective few. I mean,
you're just a Kobayashi fan. Why don't you just admit it?
Yeah.
You like Kobayashi. You hate Joey Chestnut.
I want to talk about the Supreme Court.
Go ahead. Talk about the Supreme Court.
All right, here's what I want to bet you.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you were a man, I could bet you a cigar, but I can't because you don't smoke them.
Okay.
So I'll bet you another free lunch.
Yeah, sure.
That the nominee.
There is no such thing as a free lunch.
Will
go
be
ahead.
A Bush sycophant. Want any action on it?
Why do you think it's going to be a Bush sycophant? Donald Trump is the president. He's got this list. I have a list here of all these nominees. They all looked good. They passed the conservative muster.
Right down to the managed economy.
Why do you think it's going to be a Bush sycophant?
Right down to the managed economy.
Yeah, why?
We are running on a Bush platform. These are all Bush people.
Neil Gorsuch is a Bush guy?
First of all, Neil Gorsuch, not yet, but that was his first one. Remember what Reagan did? George Bush Sr. did to Ronald Reagan? He let him have a couple of good decisions, and then ultimately turned into the Bush
presidency. I will say this. Whenever you have a liberal justice confirmed, they stick to their liberal principles. The so-called conservative justices
have no
wind
principles.
Up abandoning them in large
none.
Respect. Remember the Casey case,
about Roberts?
Which was going to overturn Roe with Kennedy on the bench and who else was on the bench, Reagan appointee. It didn't happen. The conservative, you can't trust so-called conservatives, so I agree with you there.
I hold the Supreme Court in contempt.
Hey,
and it was due to Roberts with Obamacare. From that point on, I could care less what you decide.
Couldn't care
I
less.
Decide.
Yes. Mike, excuse me. Mike, you want to tell us where I'm going to play the fireworks. Oh, are you on the line there, Mike? You listening?
Yeah,
right, we're going to play the fireworks for you, and you tell us where the fireworks are from. Okay, where are they from?
I think that's Bobby Brady kissing Millicent.
Wow. Really?
That's an old reference huh?
Thank you, Mike.
Except for John from Mundelein, we have the smartest listeners in radio.
I love those topical allusions. That's great. All right, so you were saying about
the
Supreme Court?
Okay. I was saying about the Supreme Court that after that decision, after the so-called conservative.
Obamacare.
If you remember correctly, those of us who recognized the socialist medicine insurance soiree as the cornerstone of all communism, we were comforted when we thought Roberts may be the swing vote. And he was the conservative that was put in. And he was a constitutionalist.
Can I tell you something about Roberts? And this I got from Ross Douthat of the New York Times. I didn't actually read the article, but I read tweets.
He got an island for the decision?
No, he thinks that Roberts will vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. Oh, boy. Because a lot of people say that Roberts won't do it. Wait till Roe versus Wade gets overturned. Is there going to be rioting in the streets?
How you can
talk
kill
about
somebody.
The pink hats
How you
out
can
there.
Kill somebody without consequence and pretend
they don't believe it's a
right?
human being. They don't believe it's a
well,
human
they're
being.
They're idiots.
I mean, that's
and the
what
idea
they
that we pretend it's even a choice is sickening. Sickening. And that is truly
wait, I thought
the
you were
black
libertarian.
Mark on the soul.
I thought you were libertarian.
And that baby has rights.
Shouldn't women have control over their private parts?
They do at the moment their clothes are on.
Now, okay. I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I would read a Supreme Court opinion that said that.
There
forget
you go.
The Ruth Bader Ginsburg is just fainting over Scalia's verbiage. No, Scalia was fine. I'll take Sean Thompson's.
That's right.
What was that again? The phrase that pays?
You have decisions over your body. That's why you should keep your clothes on.
Exactly. Well, I thought it was better, the formulation right before that.
Well, I can't.
All right, let's go to Tom. Tom from Barrington. Good morning, Tom. I will play the fireworks right now.
God.
Hold on a second.
The Art Van commercial.
Tom, where are those fireworks from? You're from Barrington. Where are they from, Tom?
They are from China. So I'll let you know where you can send the medium T-shirt.
Okay, from China.
And this show is not going to the Radio Hall of Fame Museum, I can tell you that.
What's the matter with this show?
Work, well,
What's the matter with this show? What's the matter with this show, Tom? What's the matter with it?
I'm just razzing.
Okay,
you guys.
You are. And you're hurting my feelings. But I got to tell you something, Tom. Here's the thing. You know, talk about fireworks from China. Remember the Beijing opening ceremonies in 2008?
No.
The Olympics opening ceremonies where they had the fake setting, the fake scenery? And I was thinking at the time, why don't we just have the Olympics in Beijing all the time? They had fake scenery in Beijing. Why do we have to move from venue to venue? They could hold it in Beijing all the time and pretend that the Olympics were in Chicago or some other place. All you need is a backdrop.
My favorite Olympics moment was when Chicago didn't get it.
That was the best.
That was the best. And all the inside trading scumbags that bought the property thinking they were going to quadruple their money and
cash out. Was that in Washington
Park? The daily Morphidites.
Yeah.
Good for you, dummy.
What is a Morphidite?
It's a combination of a moron and a dumber moron.
I thought it was something that Jamie Lee Curtis allegedly was.
It might be a protective class under HUD. I'm not sure.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
This is The Morning Show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
This is that monkey song,
Shock
right?
the Monkey.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I know all those songs post-1970.
Inspired by one nude Bruce Wolf.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. And take your calls at 312-642-5600. Let's go to Peter from DuPage. Good morning. Morning, Peter.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, good morning to you. I have a question for you gentlemen. I'd like to know who talks faster. Sean Thompson or Ben Shapiro?
Shut up. Thank you. No, thanks so much, Peter,
for
the call.
Though. Can I answer? See, I talk fast because you are dying to cut me off. Even as I speak to you now.
Shut up.
Even as I speak to you now, your brain is working in ways not to listen to me and to cut
what
me off.
What was that you said?
The other reason I speak fast is it's frustrating for me to have been joined with people, listeners of this station, for 8 years as we fought against social engineering. And now a vast majority of them support it because they like the guy who's doing the engineering.
It's tribalism. There's no question
so
about it.
So it's frustrating on many levels, and I'm angry.
I just say something about Ben Shapiro? I hate him. And the reason is it's envy. He's a punk kid. Was he like in his 20s? Went to Harvard. He's from Chicago.
So are
you.
Don't underestimate yourself. Everyone in Chicago knows Bruce Wolf. And it's not just because you got George Michael's hair.
So I claim. Here's the thing. And Ben Shapiro has written like thousands and thousands of words about the young conservative movement and how it's different from the old conservative movement. And all it boils down to is if you're a young conservative, you look kindly on gay marriage. If you're an old conservative, you don't. That's what it really comes down to.
I don't know if I agree with that. And if you see him on Bill Maher,
how do you feel about
marriage? First of all, I don't think marriage should be publicly accepted or rejected.
Oh, there shouldn't even be marriage.
There should be no government license for marriage. It's nobody's business who I love. I mean that.
That's what Barack Obama said.
There should be no tax advantage to married couples either. Did you know? I mean, I'm
so. In other words, we should not help out the family.
There should be no social
engineering.
So
here's a man who, on the
taxation.
One hand, told me because we talked earlier about a 92-year-old woman who shot her son, who wanted and killed him,
ungrateful
who wanted her to be placed in a nursing home facility. And of course, I think evidence of the fact that she didn't need to be in a nursing home facility is that she was able to shoot her son dead. But
ironically, she's going to a nursing facility.
But here's the thing:
with a jumpsuit.
So you want families to be together. You want the older generation to actually live with the younger generation and not to be shuffled off to some nursing home facility. So you want strong families, but on the other hand, you don't want to provide the tax incentives for it to occur, and you don't want the marriage deduction. So why don't you make up your mind, Sean Thompson, and go ahead. You don't have to speak quickly on this. Take all the time you want. You have 20 seconds.
All acts are between the individual and his conscience. I don't want regulated, mandated control of any class of people. I want people to be responsible for their own choices. So the consequences of their actions, they'll pay more attention to their actions. So we let people hide behind charity that we want government to implement. See, the problem is you should be responsible for your parents and your children for you.
Can't there be any government policies?
The only socialism that works is when it's within the family.
Look, I believe in federalism, so I believe in the lowest form of government, the closest, the most local form of government possible. And the higher up you get on the chain, or the more removed you get from local, the less government intrusion you want. But can't we have local governments impose certain regulations and rules? And that's why we should leave gay marriage up to the states. That's why we should leave abortion up to the states.
You know, the problem with people is they think government is not made up of people. These are not angels among men. These are not wiser or stronger. In fact, they're exactly what we all are. Some are good, some are bad, and most are in the middle. And the only restraints in America should be that on the law. The only restraints in America should be that on the public servant. Because what's happened is we are the servants and they are the rulers. And if you think I'm wrong, try to build a house next to Candace.
I think you are a utopian, even though you present yourself as a hard-headed realist. Because to think that there can be no regulation whatsoever, not even on a local level,
regulation
is
always
doctrinaire.
The consumer.
You're such a libertarian ideologue.
Here, where would Ford be? You know why I laugh when I listen to these Morphodites call about tariffs.
And again, what
where
is a
Morphodite? Where would Ford be without government purchasing? Now, here's the irony. Most of us wouldn't drive a UAW-made car to save our soul. I know I wouldn't. I need my stuff to work, right? But yet we bolster these companies up. We bail them out numerous and numerous times. We make sure they can pay their imbecilic assemblymen, most of whom are high and drunk, that produce a product that stinks.
Better for them to have
and
worked.
The only way it can stay afloat is through municipal purchases. We're afraid to let the market balance itself.
I believe with this question, and we can answer it tomorrow, were we not better off paying the imbecilic wages to the UAW members so that they could have some kind of life and some kind of pride in what they do, as opposed to them now dying of opioid abuse and lowering the...
I like where you're going with this.
Lowering the the age at which people die in America.
Don't worry, there'll be an opioid program where we're going to soon buy the opioids, then house them when they're drooling on themselves.
Sean, we're going to come back briefly at the end, I think, but I wanted to thank, before we ran out of time, I want to thank Justin and Quinn for putting the show together, including the guests they got us for today, Edmund Burke, John Locke, Sophie Tucker, and John from Mundelein. And we'll be back after these words.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.